This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3677 for Tuesday, the 6th of September, 2022. Today's show is entitled Hacker Public Radio 2021-2022 New Year's Show Part 4. It is hosted by Humki Magoo and is about 194 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, the HPR community comes together to chat.
I'm starting to hear fireworks.
Ooh, how late is it there? With me, it's half four.
Well, right now it's 8:15 p.m.
8:15. That's
2015.
Is that evening or morning?
Evening here in the States.
It's 8:30 p.m. So that's evening.
Yeah, it's 8:36 p.m. Joe.
Well, I'm standing over here trying to move heavy things. Looking at the time on my computer.
Yeah, it's 3:37, so yeah, if we want to be completely accurate.
It's 9:37 p.m. here, 21:37.
And my watch says it's like 30 seconds now, but it's not accurate. It's a bit in front of the actual time.
It's 6:37 p.m. here in California, and I'm definitely not going to make it to midnight.
Yeah, I don't think
I've made it way past midnight.
Josh, you always sound like you're about to fall asleep.
I think that's the truth.
That's the joys of apnea. Yep.
Indeed.
Yep. If you want some tips on how to stay awake, I have lost them. Well, a couple of them. First off, talk a lot, because then you won't feel thirsty, hungry, or tired, which is the one I'm employing right now. I've got a second
one. I figured you were
going to
say either high doses of caffeine or lots and lots of meth.
I don't.
In California, it'd definitely be the meth.
Well, the whole problem with New Year's Eve is staying awake and drinking. And drinking is not conducive to staying awake.
It depends on how you do it.
Yeah.
Guilty as charged.
Another way,
like caffeinated gummies.
To discount all the caffeinated stuff, because we know caffeine works, right? But it works only short term. Long term, it's not that great, and then you need to ingest a lot of caffeine just to get it through the night. This is something which has relatively little impact apart from the fact that you're staying up all night.
Let me tell you,
as you get older, it's actually easier to do an all-nighter. Problem is you're paying for it a lot longer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Truth.
Probably. Yeah.
I've heard that before, yeah.
It's not that hard for me actually right now, because I've got a couple of them already. It's just that you need to know the trick. Like I said, talking already, but there is another way, and that does have a greater risk of falling asleep, but that depends on what you're watching. If you're watching something action-filled, and action-filled can literally just be Galavant. Like, the first time I did a stay-up-all-nighter was when I was watching Galavant, and Galavant isn't the most scary thing. There's a lot of singing, but it has action, and there has some stakes, and I was watching it for the first time, and I was... Like, I thought it was pretty
Actually,
cool.
I found the easiest way to like stay up all night and not realize you've stayed up all night is to have a really, really large book that's actually interesting.
Yeah, but if you have something that's actually interesting, for instance, the first time I tried watching Time Team, absolutely riveting thing. It's about archaeology and stuff, and it's really cool. But I've nearly fell asleep, so I changed it to stuff. And now I've got the Bad Batch right up there. I've got some troubles with Star Wars Rebels season 2. Like, yeah, but I've just got the Rebels up there. I've got Bad Batch up there. Stuff should probably turn off, but I'm busy talking. Sinead, can you turn it off?
Turn what off?
The headphones, Bluetooth headphones, a keyboard, and just the screen. Just turn everything off.
Oh, up here, you mean?
Yeah, up there.
Screen already.
Yeah.
I'm debating if I should still go to bed or not. It's 24.
Nah, you shouldn't go to bed anymore. It's too late. No. You should just turn it off. Or you could watch it. That's another option. But then you should also watch the Clone Wars, which, like, that would also make you stay
up. It's already turned itself off.
Okay, great. Yeah. Because I was actually just watching it, but then I was like, you know, I'll have a quick chat and maybe come back later. And then I didn't. And yeah. But I from what I've seen of the Bad Batch so far, I quite like it. And I've seen the whole Clone Wars, and I quite like it. Does anyone like Star Wars here as well?
Well, I'd prefer to watch The Mandalorian.
Oh, I already watched The Mandalorian. Oh,
the Book of Boba Fett is out now, too.
The first episode's out.
Yeah.
Yep. I have not watched
we
it
watched
yet.
Yeah, I haven't
we watched it last
night. Don't spoil.
It was confusing.
Might be, but who knows, might not be. I've watched a lot of explanation videos on a lot of things. Maybe it's not confusing if you watched the entire
He's doing three different time periods and bouncing back and forth, and you have to keep figuring out which time period they're in right now. And how
Simply
it actually
look at
relates
how
to each
old
other.
Boba is.
Well,
like Clone Wars does that also. Clone Wars, like first, it's not that bad because you think it's in the same time frame basically, and it's kind of the same time frame I think, but it's like sometimes it just goes between stuff. Like, for instance, if a major character has died, then we don't go back to see what that major character did before.
Well, but the Star Wars movies would have been a lot more interesting if he'd have let the actors know what they were doing, because they didn't get a chance to really do any acting because they were just doing a scene and doing another scene and doing a different scene. He didn't have them in order. He didn't have anyone know what their motivation was. You were just supposed to go read the lines.
Which trilogy we're talking about?
We're talking 4, 5, 6 and 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that, yeah. But they're not too bad. They turned out really well, and that's
They could have been better.
They
paid all these actors so much money to do nothing but read your lines and not know why you're reading them.
Yeah. Well,
could have been better, but to be honest, this might be but I think Anakin was very accurate in the prequels. That is how someone with zero society, with like who likes someone, but who has zero
social skills, socialization.
Yeah, social skills. That's how they would act. They would Anakin's surroundings also influence it, but like
because it was accurate, that doesn't make the movies not suck.
No, I like the movies. I like the thing is I'm younger than Revenge of the Sith by a couple months, same year, but like I'm younger than Revenge of the Sith. I always had these prequels and stuff, so I might not have known the full plot of it like I did with the original trilogy because people kept spoiling it because they assumed I had watched something from the 80s, even though I wasn't nearly old enough.
I hate to tell you this, but Star Wars is barely in the 80s.
Yeah, well, still 80s. Still.
Well, I remember seeing Episode 4 first run before they even called it Episode 4, and it was just Star Wars. That's all it was. And you sit in the front row of that theater, and here come the lettering and then the ships going right over your head and you're going ah, and that was special, but they still didn't have any acting worth writing home about.
Wasn't that late 70s, Moss?
Yeah, late 70s.
Yeah, I think it was 78.
Yeah, heck, that even predates me by a year.
Predates me by a couple of years, but
yeah, kids these.
I think the last one.
Yeah.
Well, I was still in my first marriage pretty early in it, and she was taking her students to go see it, and I went with them one time.
I literally just watched it because my friend kept spoiling it. Like, Alderaan's gonna blow up.
But okay, you see all this stuff going over your head on a big screen, and it's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Well,
for sure. Did anyone bother with the new Matrix, by the way?
I watched it.
I didn't even watch the original Matrix. You must realize, I've watched movies no one talks about, but not the movies anyone actually talks about. That's why I watched the whole MCU in the summer, which, by the way, took me a long time, because I did watch from 2008 to nowadays.
A lot of movies.
There's all the movies.
Oh,
every
God.
Single one.
I don't know if it's this way in other countries, but, like, the MCU is, like, I swear to God, like, 90% of what's in theaters now, and I actually like those movies, but... Like, that and headaches are why I stopped going to the theater. But I did actually see the latest Matrix, because the company I work for just basically, at least where I was, say, hey, whoever, you know, we're just going to rent out this, like, tiny nonprofit theater, and whoever...
Most Irish TV show I know is Father Ted, and I love it. And apparently it's only from the 90s, which, like, it could be from any period. It's like the technology kind of gives it away, but I'm not that old, so I don't know. I have trouble
here,
placing
man.
It. What?
Making me feel old here, man.
Well, maybe. Well, I feel old sometimes, and I'm less than 2 decades old, so. Yeah, if I feel old, that means that everyone older than me probably is old.
Hey,
usually joke that people, like, if they're, like, even second older, or a centimeter shorter, that they're, like, old, or they're like short. It's not funny if they're actually old or short. It's funny when they're like when they're still like. Considered either young or when they're like or
wow,
when they're just
well I'm more than twice your age
older.
Yeah
so it doesn't stop people from making fun of me because I'm like 5 feet but I don't look
short.
That way over Zoom but the people meet me and they're like holy crap you're short and I was like yes thank you
yes you're short
yeah that's more like I think from how you're saying it like that sounds more like oh I didn't expect you to be that short.
It doesn't actually affect me. It's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
Although
in Texas, if you're 5 foot or below, I think you legally qualify as a midget and can apply for disability.
No, it's actually like less than 4'8".
I don't know how much a feet is. Like D&D uses it.
Oh, sorry.
It's fine if everyone were to use it.
3 feet
it would
is
be
a
fine
meter, roughly.
It would be fine if literally just. Everyone except the Netherlands used it, then I would be absolutely fine with stuff, but, like,
D&D like, was created by Gary Gygax in the 70s, and I'm pretty sure he was American, so...
Yes, but
okay,
it's
so...
now used by people from all over the world.
Yeah, well,
it can be useful sometimes, because sometimes you know some specific fact, but you only know it in metric. So you can just imagine that it's the same size, even though it actually isn't, if you would convert it.
Americans are pretty selfish, you know. So 5 feet is 1.524 meters.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, apart from my grievances with feet, it's not actually that bad if you just tell me afterwards.
Yeah.
I just have to say that. Just
no,
have to.
That does remind
necessary.
Me, I probably should...
I'm European, I have a duty...
Just because I find myself talking to non-Americans
I have a duty to the European Union to complain about a non-metric stuff. Yeah.
The EU said you have to complain about it at least 3 times a year.
Yeah, and say that good healthcare, that Europe has good healthcare. That's also something I have to say. It's required.
Well,
sorry.
We get told that you guys don't really have good health care, or that if you do have health care, the wait times are so long to get anything done that people die while waiting.
And we don't like to talk about the fact that they take a long time here, too. It just also might bankrupt you.
Yeah, may I point out, I do actually, like, if I think that if I lived in America, if I grew up there, I don't think... We'd have enough money for all the stuff which are needed for me to just function as a normal person. And I don't have it that hard. I just have trouble with my motorics. That's it. Well,
same here.
And Sherman. I just have crappy back, crappy motorix, and I'm autistic. That's basically the three main things.
My kids all have, well, my middle child has different sets of medical issues, but dyslexia, dysgraphia, trying to get them proper education is difficult enough. But my middle child has a tumor that is like right next to her brain on her eye sheath, optic nerve, essentially, and MRIs at least twice a year, always with new glasses. She has multiple chemical sensitivities, so anything can set off her allergies. She's required to carry an EpiPen everywhere she goes, along with a slew of medications that help keep her alive. And it's extremely difficult to keep ahead of paying for all of that.
I was talking to someone who lived in Kansas in America and then moved to the Netherlands, and he actually said, because we tend to think of America as like the entrepreneur, he said it was actually easier to freelance in Europe if for no other reason than you can't get bankrupted by medical costs.
Yeah.
I had a lunch group that I was talking with, and they're all like very American libertarian. Like they are very like, and they'd actually been to Europe and they claimed that Europe sucked basically. Like they just like to basically whine about Europe. And I told them about that guy, and they lost their minds. But I tried to ask them, I was like, okay, well, how would we do it here? Like, let's assume, yes, Europe sucks, but then so does America, so how can we do it? And they couldn't give me an explanation. So it's very much like an ego thing here. Like, I think at this point, and there are some, like, a lot of my peers really want, like, the single-payer healthcare system right now, which I don't think is realistic, and but, like, here, I think we just don't want to admit that we've, like, done it wrong for a really long time.
Yeah. No, there's so much money involved with our healthcare system. I mean,
exactly.
We pay higher costs than any other country that I'm aware of. Even with insurance, we pay those higher costs. And we're paying insurance on top of that. There's a lot of people making a lot of money off of us doing the way things are done now, which is why nobody wants to.
They're influencing your governments, which
exactly.
is why you'll never have change.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's why in every argument on the internet, people from Europe always give that thing, because we think it's just such a basic fact of life that if you have someone who has a tumor, like that's something the government has to pay for. That's not something you can pay for yourself. That's something which happened and isn't your fault.
Communism is what we would call it here.
Or socialism is the word
socialism
here.
And
but
we
if
would
you ask
think...
them how to define communism or socialism, they'll never tell you. It's just the
thing
about
Americans
is that we are like raised from the ground up. Even if we're kind of on the more liberal or progressive side, we are raised from the ground up to be incredibly distrustful in the government.
Yeah.
And too, we're very big on like self-reliance. I think it's carryover from kind of like the pioneersman kind of mentality. I will admit that sometimes when I talk to other Europeans, I kind of find myself also having a little bit of it. But I at least can kind of step back and say, okay, you know, here's what I'm used to, but here's maybe the best way. I tend to agree with actually a lot of other Americans on like I think the government's good at certain things, but not at a lot of other things. But healthcare is the one where I'm like, I definitely would trust it more to the government than companies. Because I think what a lot of Americans here miss, or at least the more conservative ones, is that, like, it's right now companies controlling a lot of things.
Yeah.
And they really don't care. Like, you can argue the companies really don't care. And they basically
become
the government.
Companies are worse.
Yeah, they just basically become a worse government here.
Well,
like, they run the government, they are the government,
and they're
worse.
Is not healthcare.
So, people complain about the entire insurance system because, well, it sucks. But then they want to also complain about, you know, a government-run system because that's socialism or communism.
Exactly.
But regular insurance is groups of people paying against a possibility, and they're paying small amounts over
that's
a long period of time. And those small amounts end up going to, well, profit mostly, but a large chunk of that goes to one or two individuals who get really sick. But that's the exact same idea behind the socialistic medicine, the socialized medicine.
Yeah. That's what Excuse me.
We missed
LinkedIn.
We missed an hour here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear.
Yeah, we hear you.
So I use that to mess with people on LinkedIn all the time. There was a guy that was like, because the big thing here is we don't like redistribution of wealth. Like, that's a big kind of trigger here for a lot of Americans. And so some guy was going on LinkedIn about redistribution of wealth and yada. I was like, well, what do you think about insurance? And he actually didn't like insurance either, which at least he was consistent. I'll give him credit for that. But I used that to mess with him. I was like, okay, so we don't want redistribution of wealth. We hate taxes. We hate. So how do you feel about insurance? And they get so mad at me. It's so funny.
No, I can make
that same
argument about insurance.
But we have redistribution of wealth. It all goes up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you got rid
it's
of insurance.
It's the wrong way.
I can make the argument that if you got rid of insurance, it would actually force the medical market to normalize to where people could actually afford it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I wanted to interrupt. We did miss the 10 o'clock, at least my time. So somebody, maybe they're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, just passed into the new year 5 minutes ago.
Yay.
Happy New Year,
Happy delayed New Year.
I also wanted to say, Joe, I can make you feel young. When I was in junior high, they published the second paperback edition, which is the first authorized edition of Lord of the Rings. And they were 95 cents a book.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
okay. That was a long time ago.
You win.
That's very long ago. Like, Lord of the Rings movie was long ago.
Oh, shut up.
Lord of the Rings movie was last week.
I haven't
week
seen the movie right yet. I've only read the books, though.
Well, the books sucked, but the movie sucked more.
The books are great and amazing.
No.
Like Hobbit.
The second book, The Two Towers, that book is perfect if you have a severe case of insomnia and you want to pass out by the end of the first chapter.
No, he goes very much into description more than any other author. He does a better job of it than any other author.
Lore.
I love The Hobbit. The Hobbit was Tolkien's best book. But
I completely disagree, and so do his kids. He wrote that for his kids, and they hated it.
I liked it.
I read The Hobbit, like, several times. My dad keeps trying to get me to read the rest of Lord of the Rings. I'm just like, no.
They are completely different works. I hated The Hobbit, and I fell in love with Lord of the Rings and read it 20 times before I was out of high school.
Well, I've read the Wheel of Time series probably 20 times now, maybe 25.
I've heard a lot of the Wheel of Time.
I am watching the series
about the Wheel of Time. Never heard about Wheel of Time actually anywhere. Well, I've heard it from one channel on YouTube and from you. Basically where I heard it from.
Now, the Wheel of Time series that's on Amazon, I'm sure it's a great series. I've tried watching it, and my dad really liked it, and I really wish I could sit down and watch it, but it's so different, fundamentally different from the books that it just trips me up when I try to watch it.
Joe, what did you tell me about watching the Dresden TV show?
Yeah, you had to let it go. You had to let the story go. And I understand that. And I tried, when it came to the Wheel of Time on Amazon.
I had similar experience with a version of a thing from Terry Pratchett. So,
and Pratchett actually authorized that.
Was it Guards, Sinead? I don't know. Was something... The Watch. It was The Watch.
I didn't know why I haven't read them.
It was... No, it's not the book, the series. So, there's a series called The Watch. And
I got my
hands on it. And I had a look at it. I and my parents really know the book. And love the books, and there I would suggest reading all 41 of the books and then all the other books he has written, because they're all amazing. Well, apart from just a tip, you don't have to read 1 and 2 first, because they are apparently prequels written before the storyline, before the rest of the story. I didn't know that, and that's very useful information, because he definitely spikes in quality right after those two. Like, there are a couple books which are very chaotic, but basically that series,
like the opposite. But I'll get to that in a second. Go ahead.
That series changed so much of really good stuff. They could have just like gone per book or did something. Like there are ways of turning the watch like all the watch arc basically of the Discworld into a series, and it was very well. And Good Omens is a series based off of a book of Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman.
Good book, and, good series.
Yeah, good book, good series. And it's
did you happen to see the movie of The Color of Magic?
Color of Magic, yeah, that's the first book. Was it very chaotic?
I'm talking about the movie.
Was the movie very chaotic? That's what I'm asking. Because I haven't seen a movie. I have read the book, and the book was very chaotic.
Well, you should see the movie, just for comparison's sake.
Yeah, I'll have a look if I can see the movie somewhere. But, yeah, there's a kind... Terry Pratchett's really good. Who here has actually read the books of Terry Pratchett?
I haven't read all of them. The series.
I've probably only read 12 or 14 of them myself.
Yeah, I probably haven't read that many.
I've read them all at least three times.
Same. I'm actually on a kind of diet for the second year now of no Terry Pratchett's for me, because I read them all, and then I read them all for a second time, and then I was like, okay, I have to stop before this isn't fun anymore. Because after 2 years of reading it for half a year, it kind of gets, you kind of know what's going on, what's going to happen. And I don't actually want that, because I really enjoy the books and they're really good. And that's why I read them for a second time.
I got burnt out on the Dresden Files.
Which one?
The Dresden Files.
That's not Pratchett.
Yeah, it's not Pratchett, but no, The Dresden Files is currently, what, a 15-book series? 16-book series. And I know that Moss is reading it, because I kind of, you know, talked it up to him.
It's going to be 20 when it's done.
Yeah.
According to Wikipedia, there are 41 Discworld novels, as well as a number of short stories.
Yes.
Wait, so I've read all 41 series?
And there's a number of other novels other than Discworld that he's read.
I've read the one about Pooh. I've read the Where's My Cow, but those are both like stories set within Discworld. I've read a bunch of other books he's written. I've read the Johnny Saga. I've read the Bromeliad. I've read the redid Carpet People. I've read a couple of short stories from his earlier career, which are like there are two books of that, and I've read those. Dodgers Nation, that kind of stuff. The only ones I didn't read are like Long World and that kind of stuff, but my dad said they're crap, so and not really very Terry Pratchett-y, so yeah.
Is there a bunch of books that he hasn't, that he didn't release before he died? I just came back in.
Well, no. Book 41 was released after his death. So he was basically, I don't know for certain, but if you look at the release dates, he released a book about every year.
He is not L. Ron Hubbard. He did not continue writing after his death.
No. The no, but he did.
Oh, I think I was a little confused because Moss said something about it be 21 after it was done or something.
No. Dresden is going to be 20 when he's done. The Discworld is 41.
It'll actually end up being 23 were many ideas. He's going to do 20 books and then a big apocalyptic trilogy.
Back as well, laptop issues. In fact, that I supported one of those small Linux businesses about a year ago, and nice idea, except the laptop I got had a few problems from the beginning, really, and then it got worse, like my internal sound breaking when I played YouTube, for example, and then it freezes up sometimes. I've not done it for a while, but when I was on there earlier, just at the end there, it just all froze up for the most part again, and then the battery is all stuck inside, so I have to let it basically power off and die, and then it's okay again.
Well, at least you know a trick to fix it.
Do you have a trick to fit me? Well, I don't know.
What distro are you running?
It is, well, it's Ubuntu, but it has a PPA where the guy changes a little bit as well. So, like, he may improve the hardware or whatever he does.
Well, okay, what his improvements may have been are what's breaking your machine.
It might be. It might be.
What's the distro?
It might be that his PPA doesn't work as well as
he said. Ubuntu with another PPA, Joe.
Well, yeah. Usually they call it another distro, though.
Have you checked the wards? Is the city wall still holding? I don't know.
Actually, I'm just making stuff up. Sound, that was probably a separate issue. Like the YouTube video went crackly. This is February. I thought I could send the laptop back, but I didn't want to because I gotta be on lots of Zoom meetings. It's pandemic. I've got to use this laptop for all kinds of things. I've been on the computer a bit too much the last 2 years because of And now it might, yeah, okay, 1 year warranty's gone. I've got another guy who fixes laptops if I was totally stuck, but it kind of works, but it doesn't completely work. And main thing is the internal sound doesn't work since that YouTube video, it went crackly and then it just sort of completely stopped. It can freeze up sometimes, like earlier, it sort of repeats itself. Like it might be RAM issue, because like he said that, the guy I got it from, might be the RAM inside the laptop that's got a bit loose, but I don't know. And then it,
Have you tried loading or booting a different distro, maybe from a USB?
Also, when it powers off, it's like it's not, well, it's not powered off completely. I've got a laminated keyboard, so like that still lifts up when it does that, and you can see the power buttons. But that was it. I can't do anything until it died. But luckily, I was on about 33% earlier, so I thought, right, I'll have a break then. An hour or so later, I'll come back, I guess, if it's working.
It's a laptop, so is the battery internal?
Yeah, it's under a load of screws. I'm not going to be sitting there and screwing the laptop for that.
Well, if you're wanting to make sure whether it's hardware or software, it's a RAM stick to them and see the same problem, totally separate.
Oh, a live CD, USB, yeah. You mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
That might be worth a try, actually, but I don't know. I mean, I think my sound issue is probably it's actually broken.
Are broken? If they were crackling, then it's most likely that the speakers themselves are broken.
Because I'm using it now via headset, that's fine. I can also stream music via Bluetooth to a different device I've got. That works. But obviously internal sound, I can't play any videos or anything and get sound. So I assume the speakers are broken back in February, yeah.
That's probably an easy fix, hardware-wise.
Sounds like a whole bunch of magic to me. If you think about it, technology, like what you're talking about right now, sounds like utter nonsense to me. Like I can understand a couple words, but it's a bit hard to understand for anyone who isn't actively
sounds
a lot like magic.
No, I remember now. You're not as techie as we. Yeah,
well, yeah. We're still very surface level on this. I thought we were just talking about the simple things.
Yeah, this probably is simple.
Simple things. I'm doing air quotes. You can't see it because it's sound, but I'm doing air quotes. Simple things. I understand some words. I am not completely oblivious to all things technology, but close enough.
The internal speakers are probably readily accessible as soon as you open the thing up, and it's literally going to be a two-prong connector for both of them.
The connector's broken inside, you reckon?
No, I figured the speakers are blown, but probably the... Okay, now we're going to get more complicated. There's a little tiny copper coil that's like really super long that runs in the middle of the speaker, and most likely that is popped somewhere in the middle.
They probably have popped because I'll tell you what I did as well. I was telling my tech friend this, and he said, like, well, in a way, it's your fault then. And I was like, really? But I've done this on another laptop. I've never had this problem. So, yeah, I was playing, like, some metal or rock or something on YouTube, though, back in February, right? Except it didn't come out. It didn't sound as good on the laptop, so, like it doesn't always do on laptops. And so I went into the PowerView control, you know, Pulse Audio, and I upped the sound past the 100% to about 153%. And that's, I've done that on another laptop, no problem. But this laptop, it started to crackle, and then it went.
Yeah, you know the speakers.
So you missed. Let me try for. Let's assume that there are people like me who might not understand everything technical, which is totally fine. By the way, that you're going to do technical stuff. It's HPR after all. It's expected. But so what you're saying is that you messed with the thing past the limit where you're supposed to mess with it, and then it broke, and so it's your fault that it broke because you messed with the thing you're not supposed to mess with.
Basically. So, well, kind of, except, I wouldn't completely agree with that because...
I wouldn't either.
Because in what I went into is the sound settings, and you can up it past 100%, as in the normal, it says the sound might get distorted, or it might actually sound better when you do that. And normally a laptop is okay with that.
It depends on the impedance of the speakers. And the age of the speakers.
Yeah, if the thing does the thing, like, it's not really your fault for doing it.
How
unless you,
old
like,
is the laptop?
With the configs and changed it.
The thing is, and that's the other thing. This laptop's supposed to be brand new, but you're about a year old now. Because I bought it.
Then it makes sense, yeah. If you're supposed to be able to mess with the thing... And even though it might be risky and you're supposed to be able to mess with it, no problem, and the thing is also new, then it makes sense.
It's annoying. Yeah. It cost that, about...
That wasn't
see.
That clear before if you
No,
if
no,
you
it cost about it. 500 yeah. quid on its own before I upgraded it slightly. So I got more RAM, for example, and I got more space on the SSD. And it was like 4 GB RAM by default. So
you should be able to purchase speakers for that model at a relatively low cost. And it should not be hard to replace them.
No, I'm a bit like, I can either I try and send it back, but I don't really want to do that, or I do give it to my other guy and let him fix it now. But at some stage, it's a bit frustrating though. And also the freezing thing, I don't know why it does, might occasionally do that, and it kind of copies on the menu, it like repeats everything. It's like in the URL, in the address bar, you know, on the web page, if I put down the letter A or type something in, it could repeat that, and it used to repeat everything down the menu on GNOME as well.
The simple answer is install Linux Mint and see what happens.
It doesn't sound like there's anything wrong with the... I mean, it sounds like there's something wrong with the operating system.
Well, except for the speaker issue.
Yeah, the speakers are blown.
The speaker issue is probably separate. That probably was me because of whatever. Or it's a hardware that all the speakers weren't good enough in the machine in the first place. But the other thing...
Well, but you're also having, like, the everything stuttering and the video's freezing, right?
Right, but the speakers were working previously. Now, it could technically have been an update that caused a driver issue where there's a conflict between the 3.5 millimeter port and your internal speakers.
And the mouse can freeze sometimes too, for whatever reason. Like it, yeah. I mean, it sucks.
Just install Linux Mint real quick and see what happens.
Why are we saying Mint? Is this the Mint guy we had on earlier?
I am a Mint guy. I'm one of the hosts on the Mintcast. There's a couple of us here.
Yes, that's cool.
Anytime you're having problems with a machine, Mint will fix most of them.
Yes. The answer is almost always install Mint.
Why? Because it's got the drivers built in as well, more so? Or is it just...
Because he likes Mint.
I like Mint.
Almost every reminder out there says the same thing. If your computer isn't working right on Linux, try Mint.
This just reminds me of, like, in D&D, there's this, like, joke thing that if you're in a troubling situation and you're a spellcaster, just cast Fireball. Nothing bad happens when you cast Fireball.
I'm going to get this one fixed somehow or enough so, but there was another Linux laptop I was looking at, like, ooh, that could be interesting. Comes out at the end of January as well.
Which one?
Star Labs, some sort of small UK one, I think. They've got they've got some laptops out already, but they're coming out with like a 14-inch one, and then also like an 11-inch one, but like a netbook, but better. It's reasonably cheap, I think, for the price, and you can upgrade that slightly too. Like, let's change the power port, or let's have more RAM or SSD or space or something.
Could have used Dell. I have yet to find a Dell laptop that I couldn't install Linux on.
Oh, Dell. They got one for sale in the UK, but it was like my friend told us that the last virtual lug meeting in December, right? Because this got mentioned, and it was about £4,000 or something stupid.
Ouch.
Yeah. It's like it's hidden away. It's under being a business laptop, and it's there, hidden away kind of thing. And it was like $1,000, $2,000. I don't know. It was more than a Mac, basically. And it was like, really? Oh, it's got a nice NVIDIA graphics card, possibly, or something. But it was like really?
A Dell gaming laptop?
I don't know. It's probably there still, hidden away there, but...
Does it have lighting up a keyboard if it's gaming a laptop?
No.
All gaming things should have lighting up parts.
I've got a lit up keyboard on this laptop, so it's nice. You can change the colours and things, yeah.
I haven't got a lit up keyboard, but I've got a lit up headset upstairs in my usual setup. This is my dad's setup, which has like open mic thingy where if I do this, you might hear it. I don't know, did anyone hear anything?
I was
just touching the mic something. I usually and have it like, connected blue... to my headset.
And I've had some Bluetooth keyboards that are bought separately, USB, that were lit up and things as well. I remember seeing one on the plane somewhere once, and I was like, oh, that's like a nice, I want that, a keyboard like that, and I got one. But I was going to say with Dell... HP and Lenovo and Asus. I'm kind of going to change the subject a bit here, but it's related to Dell because somebody mentioned Dell. Dell, HP, Lenovo, Acer, Asus, all of those. And there's maybe one or two. No, all those big laptop computer companies. That how I see it is this: HP as well. How I see it, and I've got a laptop with some issues from HP originally, and I got that too, but that's a side point. But how I see it is this, all those companies, they just don't care about Linux, not seriously. They do, some of them have supercomputers or servers with Linux, because that's where the big money is, right? But for like the desktop, the home user, the consumer, they couldn't care less.
I'm going to disagree with you right there when it comes to Dell, because... Dell is one of the few companies that actually releases a full-on Linux laptop, and that's the Dell XPS 13 Developer Edition.
Yeah, hang on, here's a key word, right? Listen to this, Developer Edition. We can quote that.
But
technically
again,
two words, Developer and Edition.
Yeah, but it means like this is
they still commercially release
not,
that.
Not normal people, right?
It's still going to work with Ubuntu. And as a matter of fact, most of their laptops, and especially their tablets, work with Linux. I have no problems installing any version of Linux onto a Dell tablet, either the Venue 11, take your pick on the model number, or the Dell Latitude 2-in-1.
Fair enough. However, if I don't need to, I could load it up right now, a Dell UK site or Merit or whatever, but if I'm just looking for a laptop, I'm just a usual person, let's say, right? Don't really know much about computers. I know a bit, but I'm looking for a laptop. I used to Dell website or HP.
Me.
I didn't say you, but if you like, yeah, it could be you if you want.
Probably.
Although your dad's into Linux, so you do have some kind of idea what Linux is, unlike most people, but yeah, that's not my point quite either. However, the usual person, let's say, looking for a laptop, you go to the Dell website, HP as well, they're not going to find a Linux laptop, they're going to find the Windows laptop. Yeah, and that's how true. It is.
I would look for Linux stuff. I thought you were going in that direction.
You thought I was going into, yeah.
You know. I don't know. Well, it's hard to follow a conversation if you only understand half the words. It's like if I started speaking Dinglish right now, combination between Dutch and English, first off, it'd be very hard because I'm not in that mindset right now. But I've been talking English for a couple hours.
Yeah, Moss, I've seen something in the chat. Yes, it's a Juno's computer machine, the one I've got now.
That's Juno, is that like that goddess, like a Roman version of what was her name? Can't remember, I'm tired. Probably offended her just now. Who knows?
The one that was on earlier?
Yeah, Juno, that's the Roman goddess, right?
No, I don't know. Moss is linked to some of the UK Linux companies. So I said the machine I'm on now is a Unix computer, also, which I think I think the actual laptop is maybe comes from somewhere else in Taiwan, and I think he buys it in or whatever, then rebrand it or something. But yeah, it's Unix computer, this one. Yeah, Clevo, that was it. Yeah, Clevo, to Moss in the chat. So they get like a Clevo thing, rebrand it or something. But yeah, Juno Computers is what I bought here. Then there's Entroware, obviously, which I know about. Anyway, that was like Ogcamp sponsors and things.
Yes, Juno does come from mythology, and it's also one of the moons of Saturn.
And there's Slimbo.
Yeah, but the moon of Saturn is named after the goddess. That's the thing. Anything astrology where you're like, it's also astrology, like it's mythology, but also astrology, all the astrology stuff is named after the mythology.
And there's Slimbuck from Spain. Yeah, I know about that as well. For laptops or Linux laptops. That sells the UK. And there's maybe one more that we're forgetting or something. But
I don't know, I'm just here to be annoying, interrupt, and to remind you that there are people out there who might not know what they're what's going on, and that's totally fine. By the way, if I interrupt like this, just continue talking, except if I want to make a point.
No, that's fine. If you want to talk as well, that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a conversation. I'm being annoying, which is what I do in conversations.
I just got tired of talking over someone or being talked over, so I've just been posting things in the chat.
What? You're used to podcasts with an excessive number of hosts.
Anyhow, the other one, as I posted in chat, is Tuxedo in Germany. Most of them are Clevo machines, but they do a lot of work to them. They don't just get the machine and put their brand on it. The biggest thing is, apparently, there's a problem with some of the Wi-Fi modules in them, and they have to completely replace those, and that's usually a nice soldering job.
A lot of companies take Clevos and then just rebrand them.
The Wi-Fi works on this laptop, but it seems, and I've got Bluetooth as well.
May I just say, if anyone ever has trouble with me talking too much, just do the exact same. I wouldn't advise anyone to do this with anyone else but me, but do the exact same as I do. I will usually, if we're talking over each other and I can't overpower the other person, I'll let the person speak and then tell my thing later on. Especially if I'm talking for hours and hours.
That's what I do sometimes too.
Oh, I miss talking about Salvatore.
Or you sometimes want to go back on something because there's something change the subject.
I want to make a point for at least more than a quarter of an hour, but I'm just waiting. I'm waiting until the correct point to make it.
Don't forget what you're gonna talk about then.
Oh no, I already thought you guys were gonna talk about some technical stuff probably, and I already knew I was going to say this long before I even, I think it might even be from before December. So, I have been saving up this year because people don't want to talk to me that often. Don't want to talk to me enough. So, yeah.
I really love talking to you. It's just 4 hours of non-stop talking. Sometimes I have other stuff to do.
Where's Sinead from, whatever the name is?
Sinead, my sister.
I did think it might be your sister. I wasn't sure.
I announced her when she came in. You might not have been there.
Right, okay, I got two of you. In that case, what I'm going to do is this, right? One, I got a question for you that you both can answer. And you seem to want to be talking about something else. You can mention that afterwards. Your turn. However, my first question is, right? Apparently, the Netherlands is in another lockdown. That's what I read somewhere. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. Sinead will be able to tell you most about it because she actually is going to have a real job. She's not, doing school stuff. Basically, with me, it's just that, there's another lockdown. We are having one each year, apparently. It's going to be a new tradition. But, I'm not very into the whole news thingy. Omicron variant stuff, I'm pretty sure. And basically not good enough government. Rutte should not be in charge anymore. But that's just my opinion. I can't vote yet. So, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. You're only allowed to have one or clover at the shot. Except if you're in an exam year or...
Like me. Yay. Yeah. To be honest, not the worst. Because then at least I'll be able to learn more than I would online. Because they expect you to know as much.
They did that here last year, right? In England, probably the whole of the UK, actually. Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, I think, as well. But definitely England. But the thing is, every year, right, there are two lots of major exams that happen depending on the age you are. So if you're 16 or 15 to 16, you're going to be doing your GCSEs, your year 11, and then which are pretty important to get good grades in those, ideally, as well. And then people tend to do the A-levels after that if they want to go to university and things, right? But because they cancel all the exams all the exams got cancelled and there was lockdown and everything, and the coursework is only part of it. Basically, in the end, it was based on the teachers faking the grades, basically, by using the predicted mock grades. And so some people got better grades than they would have got, and others got really horrible grades and complained about it.
Yeah, it's like, here, really? Everyone just passed. Well, everyone got graded on in the first time they did. They had the exam stuff. Luckily, luckily for schools, there were already a bunch of. The way it goes is that there's big exams at the end of the year, but that counts for half. There's the other half is normal tests and stuff during the year. So they just counted all the stuff during the year as your final exam thingy, and basically if I had that now, I'd pass with nearly everything.
And then they got rid of the education minister in the end because he wasn't much good, to be fair. But yeah, that's a bit of a, I don't know. I'm glad I didn't have to do any of that, and the whole masks in school thing as well, which a lot of them had to do and things, or social distance in the classroom, or have your support bubble, absolute mess. Maybe you have to wear a mask when you walk around the hallways, not supposed to socialise with people outside your bubble in the school or whatever it was. Absolute mess.
Yeah, but what I wanted to say is related to, the whole techie conversation from before, which is why I wasn't too fussed about talking earlier. It basically, if you think about it, technology is very much like magic. And this is very useful for people like my dad, who doesn't understand, or refuses to understand sometimes. I don't know. It's hard to tell sometimes. Like fantasy stuff, like Star Wars is fantasy. You can't argue on that. It's just fantasy.
You're just restating Clark's second law here.
Could argue that it's sci-fi.
What's Clark's second law?
Whoa.
You can argue that it's sci-fi, but it's like fantasy in space. Medieval versions of the songs, and they usually have like art of like Jedi if they were actual knights, and they look like exactly the same, and I literally mean exactly the same. It wouldn't change that much if
technology. Technology. Well, it's not really. It kind of is a bit like magic when it works. It let you know your screen lights up.
It sounds like magic.
You turn your phone on when your computer, and you're greeted by all this flashy like light. That it's not just light.
Then you click what actually goes on?
Then you click around, and there's like
magic brick.
Where there's like, we'll get to where it doesn't work in the chat somebody put there. And it works, and you got all this light lit up stuff, and there's menus, and there's programs, and there's all kinds of things.
A magic brick with all the knowledge of the universe.
You can do, although it needs power, without power, you get nowhere. The actual electricity,
As I said, we're just talking Clark's second law. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Yes, and we already reached that point. Well, nearly. We nearly reached it.
As for when it doesn't work,
depends on how sufficiently knowledgeable you are about it. Because
when it doesn't work, we call it my next project.
When it doesn't work, well, what happens when magic doesn't work? You're like let me try press and then I'm talking about from a perspective of someone who doesn't have a clue about how it works.
Because
like let me just put this in perspective. I'm just a normal guy who just happens to be friends with a bunch of mages, right? And you guys are a bunch of mages who know all about magic and love to tell me about magic and stuff. And basically,
we love to tell you about magic because you too can be a wizard.
Yes, but it takes a lot of time and energy and interest to be a wizard, and I might want to be like a squire or something.
Well, if you too can be a wizard, what about you? B40.
What?
I don't think they got the reference, boss.
You can be Harry Potter, but what was I saying? Yeah, so when it doesn't work, it's just a useless brick, basically. When your phone is not charged up, it's just a black thing, horrible-looking thing.
Yeah,
when your laptop work, it's this normally dark as well.
Okay, you guys are making me smile, okay? Yeah. You're talking about electronics that need fixing, and I don't have any.
Nice.
I think this laptop could do with a few little fixes, as already mentioned. But
hey, if you want to mail it to me, I will work on it.
I've got a box sitting here that I should have mailed to you months ago.
but when a normal person who doesn't know anything about like technology stuff, their phone breaks or does something weird, like my computer has some like weird things it does sometimes. It doesn't happen very often, but usually I just try things and hope it works. Like, I know for context, like, turning it off and on again, that might work. So,
well, then you have your start.
Just, like,
the thing
for instance,
is, the or thing hoping is with technology, it'll go, right?
That's basically how a normal person would use magic and technology. And
right, so
We already reached a point where...
I'll tell you what some people do when laptops don't work right. And I know somebody who's done this, unfortunately, with at least two laptops. And this is what you don't do with a laptop, right? But some people do this. They seriously do this. Do never do this with a laptop, seriously.
Yeah.
Or with a phone or a tablet or any of this.
Never
stuff.
Do it.
But yeah, I mean, if accidentally your tablet falls in the bin or something, that's a little bit different. However, some people really do just do just that. The laptop's got hardware problems. It doesn't power on. It doesn't work. They just chuck it out in a black bin bag.
Go buy a new one.
Yeah.
It's straight to landfill site.
Some people do that.
Instead of sending it to Joe like they should.
Yeah.
He can fix it.
One girl who I spoke to online before years ago, she threw one in the river up in Scotland. I remember telling me that. Don't do that either, because the thing is, these devices are made out of plastic, and they're made out of other components as well, metals, and it's just not good for the environment.
It's just bad. Like with magic. If you use magic wrong, you create either chaos, in D&D, there's there are two types of bad magic zones. There's basically where magic goes haywire and it's all chaos stuff, or where there's dead magic and there's no magic and magic can't be used.
Yes, drawing out batteries in most places is actually illegal. And there are uses for batteries. Most dead batteries can be at least partially resuscitated. Now, there are times when you shouldn't do that, but you should always dispose of batteries properly.
Yes, but the thing is, the thing we were talking about is like technology, all this Linux stuff, it sounds like magic. What if they exploded? Well, that just magic explodes stuff, right? That's like, isn't that a thing which it does?
There's
a good little comment there in the chat from Snezling, I've yet
to find a use for a post exploded battery. I will say that.
Hang on. Right. Somebody said, she said, if you put it, you probably shouldn't take them in the bath with you either to that technology. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Especially if it's plugged in, charged as well.
They'll take a lot of things with you into the bath.
it's
just like magic. If you take a dragon with you in bath, the dragon might not like it and then it might die. Or like ascension magic item, which was sleeping, you might not know that, and then whoops, now it might not like the water and then you're dead. Or like for instance, you might just pick up a random axe, think like, oh, this is a good axe, and accidentally attune with it, and oh look, suddenly you look like a dwarf. This is an actual magic item, an actual artifact, which is a really powerful, like, super magic power item, basically, in Dungeons and Dragons. It's a specific axe, like, from dwarf stuff, so that explains why you look like a dwarf. So only dwarfs can basically attune to it without turning into dwarfs, because they're already dwarfs. don't
I find that offensive dwarf. As someone who is almost dwarf.
you should read Terry Pratchett books. He has a really good explanation on dwarfs, by the way. It's really cool.
Oh, I just realized. I just remembered something. I forgot that, but yeah, about 20 minutes ago, I believe Newfoundland hit the new year, because they're in that 3.5 hours
nice.
Time zone behind the UK, right? One of those half-hour time zones, yeah?
Wow. Yeah. Well,
we did call it out in the chat.
Really? Did you? I'm doing everything wrong.
Anyway, you know, so... I'm going to tell whatever his name is a little secret about magic and computers and tech, right? That everyone else, a lot of people here are going to know. But I'm going to tell him a little secret, right? And that is that a computer and a phone and a tablet and all this stuff, it's actually stupid. And what I mean by that is
they're all the same thing.
That you have to basically tell it what to do via a computer program or it does nothing.
Oh yeah, I know that, but that's, yeah, I basically, I know that because I remember it from long, long ago, from when Dad really tried to push me into becoming a Linux person, which didn't work, as you can obviously tell. I like magic way more than like technology, and
it's not really magic, it's just clever people. It's a bit like who have done
well,
a lot of this
in
stuff.
D&D.
It's the same with the it's a bit like with the COVID vaccines, right? We would be in an absolute more of a mess of a pandemic if there weren't vaccines.
Yeah.
And those people who have worked on the vaccines, they are just really clever, some of them.
Real smart.
Clever people, you know.
Good going.
And the same with like engineers and things. You could normally go on a plane and go on holiday and things, right? Who invented a plane? Who works on planes? Clever people.
Yeah. But I have quite some stories which I just thought up in my head and never actually written. And there's a couple which I actually tried to write but never finished. So if I ever finish a story, just know that, by the way, there's an entire like universe out there surrounding that story. But basically, in that universe, magic, there's both magic and sci-fi technology. This isn't like Star Wars where it's like fantasy in space, because by the way, D&D and Star Wars both use like an incredibly similar way of magic. D&D has the weave, which is like weave of magic. I used to really enjoy all their stuff. What do you mean?
Yeah, that's
we old people are on a side note on Fire Sign Theater.
You like the magic sci-fi theme. However, I was just kind of like ruin it slightly with this comment, but it's a bit like, well, actually, no, it's like gravity. You know, way back, the apple fell off the tree, and it was like, why does it do that? And somebody figured it out that there's something called gravity, and it all kind of went from there. Or it was like, how they used to think that thunderstorm was the gods being angry. And then somebody figured out that there's like electric in the sky sometimes, and all this kind of thing, you know.
And
like,
then people forgot and rediscovered or something, and that kind of stuff. But basically, what I have is, I know that's probably what would happen, but what if magic didn't want it to happen? Like, magic actively destroys technology unless you like enchant every individual piece. That's why that's how I can still have fantasy stuff while not having it clash with the cool space government. So I can have like close up, it's like fantasy and medieval stuff and that kind of stuff. So if it's very technological, it's not very technological advanced, then it's probably because it's there's a high there's a loss of magic in that area, and that magic in that area specifically doesn't like technology, because magic is going to have sentience.
Harry Potter and I think it's the Chamber of Secrets, the second one, the one with the flying car.
Yeah. Yeah,
which was just a normal car until the magic made it fly.
Yeah, that could be possible, basically, under my rules. But then you have to basically take the entire car apart, enchant every single piece of the thing. Like, if it's like there's screws, you have to unscrew the screws to get them out. Every single moving part, every single thing which can be a different object, like for instance, I've got a keyboard here and I have to take out every key, all the things they're attached to, and basically I have to take it apart and reassemble it again, but when I'm reassembling it, I have to enchant it and then enchant every object which comes from that stuff. So it's very expensive and very hard to have enchanted items, and some stuff are like magic accepts it until a certain level. So depending on the magic, where it is, it can accept it in a certain level. And also, I'm now toying after watching Rick and Morty this year. I watched Rick and Morty this year, by the way.
Rick and Morty, yeah. I've seen a little bit of that, but not the whole lot. There's a lot to see still. Yeah. But it's good, isn't it?
Yeah. So I basically thought first, like, how I usually get a story is like, well, there are multiple ways, but one of the most common ways to get some element into the whole universe thing. By the way, the universe kind of started when I had a I still have a jacket with Dark Industries on it, and then I thought that could be a company, and then I kind of grew it from there.
The universe. But, I like the idea of parallel universes, like a lot of sci-fi.
Yeah, that's basically
programs.
What I thought. What if I was like the Rick? What if I was Rick and then made this whole armor thing from using a lot of stuff from Starfinder, and then after that I kind of discarded, but I'm gonna use that as the skirters, one of the one of the old concepts I had was basically like powered armor with a skirt. And there were going to be called skirters. The reason skirts is because it's a ballistic skirt and it's supposed to protecting the joints in your leg. And that's actually something being used. And that's why I used the skirt thing. I should just make episodes explaining the universe.
Hang on a minute. Moss, yeah. That's good what you're doing in the chat, but... you could do it on the podcast as well, surely.
I can't.
It's not my job, and two, everyone else is talking.
Somebody did it like 2 years, four years ago, whenever that was. They would do it every hour, I think, for a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, right. This place is in New Year now, and that one. The guy who made Crunch Bang Linux and his wife, remember those? Anybody? Yeah, I think it was them, yeah. I don't know, they were doing it anyway that time. More places have gone into New Year just now.
Yeah, and it says Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Venezuela, Bolivia, and Western Brazil. We're doing a whole chapter in geography just about Brazil, if any Brazilians are listening, be happy. We have an entire chapter about your country. Like, specifically chose Brazil, apparently, because it's a good mix of everything we had already. So, that's pretty cool. But I was saying, so, where were we again? Oh, yeah. So, I was reading up lots of magic, because I started doing Magic the Gathering this year. And then I just thought of like an entire government system and stuff, and now I have a interspatial government, and they don't allow a lot of travel between dimensions because they're scared because most of them lived through COVID times, so they're scared of people trying, basically they're scared of Rick and Morty happening and stuff. There was a whole civil war with that. And basically, they're trying to limit their own government, but at the same time, limit their own people. So it's a very, very wonky thing and a lot of layers. There's at least four layers in the whole ethics side, which is so very important and stuff. And it's just kind of written down in a document on my laptop.
Ethics, magic, time travel, sci-fi. Yeah, time travel. I don't know. I mean, imagine if you go back to 2019. Before all of this COVID and everything that's happened, right? And you could go to yourself and go, oh, by the way, or anybody else, oh, by the way, there's going to be face masks, there's going to be lockdowns, there's going to be all kinds of stuff. I'm sure you'd
nothing would happen. People, they would laugh at you.
What are you on about?
yeah. But that's also like time travel is very hard to actually make a good story, because you can either do it the Terry Pratchett way, which is really good, Trousers of Time.
Also, they say with time travel, to as has been shown in Rick and Morty as well, which you were just talking about, but also various sci-fi movies, etc., is that basically if you go and change one little thing in the past, it might have a really big effect.
Yeah, it will have a really big effect. That's why also in my universe, time travel is banned. I think it's technically still possible, but very hard. But it's banned. It's supposed to be actually the real world is supposed to be a part of it. Who knows? I might just be another version of myself running around telling the same story over and over and stuff. When I die, I'll become an ancient undead spirit god thingy, which I actually quite like. I would quite like that.
Now, there's a parallel universe, right? Where you are all into Linux and all this as well.
Yes, that definitely. I think in that society, people it wouldn't be the norm that people were into Linux, but the people who were would definitely gain benefits, because I definitely respect people who can do Linux stuff and engineering and stuff, because I realized the value of that. Like in any sci-fi thing, it's always the engineers might not be in charge, but they are invaluable. Without an engineer, you can't survive in space. Without an engineer, you can't have a massive interdimensional city thing without any of those mosquito and slugs and that kind of gross things, or apples.
Shop staff in a pandemic with a lockdown
and
farmers have, and all that still as well, and food manufacturers, there's a problem.
Yeah, but yeah, would it actually be a good thing to have a just a podcast about on HPR, just my little universe and all the tweaks I'm making to it and that kind of stuff? Or would that not be a good thing? Because I don't know, would it be something people are interested in? Or
maybe Bible number two, but instead of a book, it's a podcast.
What? I think just do it. Your dad would probably be happy with that. and then you put it up as a show.
Yeah, okay.
Let me say this. I fiddled with Linux from about 2002. I got a little bit serious between 2010 and 2012. In 2015, I got completely serious. In 2018, toward the end of the year, I joined Mintcast without knowing what the blank I was doing. And in the 2.5 years I was on Mintcast, I learned more about Linux than in all that time before. And also, people sent me nice computers and things. I was sent 4 Raspberry Pis, each one a different model. I've been sent a number of laptops. Yeah, it's good for you. Get involved.
Yeah. If anyone listening to this is interested, I don't know how HBR actually works. I said to Dad that there should be instructions, because I have no clue how it works. But there is some way, right, to tell people to comment, right? I'm not
Two things. I got into Linux when I was 17 or 16. Somebody said open source. I was like, what's that? That was the first thing. I had to use family computers back then. And then an old family computer came mine. It was like, let's put Fedora Core 2 on there. Grub goes wrong. I can't even get the Wi-Fi working at this time. And this wrapper, I've got Ethernet later. But yeah, and I've used it ever since because it's good. And you get into stuff. But the thing is, right, you're probably sitting there thinking, oh, everybody's a programmer on here. I'm not a programmer. I can code HTML on a website and CSS, but I'm not a programmer. I read a Python book and I gave up.
I am not a programmer. I am not a coder. I am not a IT guy. I am not anything. I'm just someone who uses Linux. Joe is not a programmer, but he's someone that uses Linux. He also is someone that fixes things. We each had different things. Get into a podcast with a group of people and see what you can learn from each other and from your audience.
Yeah. And it's also kind of like, I've never actually finished writing a story. I've started writing stories, and the people who've read the stories were all like, wow, those are great starts and stuff. I've never actually had, you know, I usually just stay on the topic for a little while, and then
you can write your story on Linux, using Linux as well, with LibreOffice or something, yeah.
I'm sure an alternate reality me would write a story on Linux. But I do consider my, I'm kind of experimenting with stuff with world building, and I'm having lots of fun with it, even if I'm writing nothing down. The only things I have are like a couple documents on my computer just in case, and some older notes in stuff. And I've already experienced great shifts in my way of thinking, writing, that kind of stuff. And I've actually revisited a lot of the old stuff, and there were some great ideas which I've forgotten. So if anyone, if you want to try something, I would just suggest trying it, because I'm just trying this thing, and I like it. And I think most people actually have at some point had a little world inside of their head, like how they like their fantasy stuff. And if you can write that down and actually make a cool story out of it, then it can really grow into something. Yeah, if you try to connect every single thing into one cohesive reality, then eventually it will actually work.
Yeah, when I was between the ages of 12 and 16, I want to say, I had a whole set of characters, and they had a whole universe and all that. And even though I wound up not doing anything with it, because I figured out I didn't want to draw all day, I'm still glad I did that, because it made me think through a lot of things, how societies work and stuff like that. Because I'd be like this, and then this. It's like, well, that doesn't make sense if people are.
Yeah. I've looked up smithing, just for one sword. It's a really cool sword, was made by four gods fused into one god, but it's just a sword. One singular sword, owned by one boss of one company, Dark Industries. It's one of the oldest characters wielding a really cool sword, and now I've retrofitted him, because he was kind of fading away from importance. He used to be the most important character, the most important connection. He was the connection between everything. Derek, the boss of Dark Industries, and originally I had him take over Dark Industries, but after a little later I had him found Dark Industries. So he used to be very, very important, but after that, Rick and Morty really shifted everything towards I had made a listing everything a lot, from actual, a lot of real stuff which exists, from small to big, and then some of the stuff which we don't know about yet, I just filled in with stuff, and there was some repeating stuff. But yeah, basically it was pretty fun. But I use that to basically my government, basically my inter-multiversal government is from this size to this size. I've done that. So yeah, and since then I've had a gradual basically just went away from the Dark Industries thing, but I still really like Dark Industries. It's the or one of the oldest and most resilient parts of the thing, and I want to connect every story with at least a mention of this mythic Dark Industries, just like a little Easter egg. So I think I've retrofitted him to be, which is something I've done a lot with Dark Industries, I've retrofitted him to be another version of, well, I don't know what I'm going to call them, but they're literally just versions of me. It doesn't reflect my ego very well, but the intergalactic government thingy is going to be versions of me. They're going to be immortal gods. But, like, I have the power, why not use it? So, yeah.
What do you guys think about that? Yeah, it does sound interesting. From the creative side of things, you know, there seems to be enough rich material that you've laid out to have enough conflict and enough different motivations.
There's enough for an entire MCU.
Yeah.
Actually, so, the MCU is part. It can be written as part of this.
Yeah.
Like, and Loki was also kind of a big inspiration for it. But yeah, continue.
That's the thing, too, you know. Because, you know, when I see a lot of other fiction that I've read, a lot of it falls flat when they don't. Kind of hard to describe until you get to a certain point in the storytelling, but the easiest way to describe it would be like Mary Sue or Gary Stu syndrome, where there's one character that is untouchable and...
No, that's not the case. Basically, what I have is that this person, basically, let... I always just thought of it as other versions of me. I know about Mary Sue's. That's the thing. I am aware of those things. The only way they can turn into gods is if they die and if their soul isn't destroyed. And even then, they aren't immortal. They can still die. It's just a tad bit harder. They have to, if they manifest physically, because they can go between not physical and physical, you can still just kill them. They're killable. Just chop them in half or something. Just whack them hard enough and they'll die. They'll just come back a little later. So you actually just have to sever their connection with, you know, the whichever realm they're connected to, and you can do that several amounts of ways. And that's why they try to guard it that much. It's mostly they actually connect it. They keep their connections in vaults and that kind of stuff. They try to have it. That's the thing. They want it to be safe, and the safest is with the government. But at the same time, it's also like, what if someone infiltrated the government and stuff? And also all the old, like, dead ones usually they go to the capsule, basically, which, like, that basically city that can teleport to places and stuff. I don't know, because obviously if you turn into an immortal god, it will be pretty sad that everyone you'll ever love will be dead later in not that long of a time to you. So if you then go to a place where people don't die like that, also they have the choice to turn into that. They don't actually have to, so they can also still die. And I'm specifically not using the dead ones, like the gods, as characters, because I know that will be way too overpowered. They could just use stuff not to die, for instance, or something. There'll be no tension. I'm gonna use stuff like a necro-illusioner, the necromancer / illusioner, who's not dead yet and tries his best not to be, that kind of stuff. Who might who might actually have problems if he were to actually die or something. Or like people who aren't of that group who can still normally die. That kind of stuff. Yeah, you understand what I mean?
Yeah. Like, as long as there are limits to what the powers can do, that's actually pretty important.
And as long as it's established that they can do it. Like, for instance, I haven't seen the episode 7, 8, 9, but I know Rey can do a lot of overpowered stuff, which doesn't make sense. Like bringing people back from the dead. That's simply not possible in Star Wars. But that's like apparently the finale of a movie. So that's not something I'm going to do. I'm not going to bend the rules to make them either fail or succeed. I'm going to try to make it as limiting as possible without defeating the core concept of what they are. Because they aren't like gods. They're like really powerful individuals who are bordering on gods. They can't warp reality in their place. They can't do anything of that sort of thing. They're like ghosts who can come back, but then not as like shells of who they were, like actual versions of who they were. Like, still physical and stuff. They're just immortal. And immortal meaning they don't age or get sick. That's the definition of immortal. They can still be killed.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good base to build on.
A lot of lore dumping right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't intend that to happen, but it happened.
Yeah. One thing that I've posted in the chat were a couple of links to some handy open source software that might help. One problem I personally ran into with a lot of my earlier writings and earlier code and other creative endeavors was that I didn't use open source software to do those things. So, you know, over the years, I've lost a lot of things because the files can't be opened anymore. And, you know, because it's proprietary software and you can't find it anymore. And the computers that I used.
That's a good point. I mean, I haven't had that problem myself, but I was reading about articles before, sort of about that kind of thing, where basically people had old documents, spreadsheets maybe as well, whatever, word processing, but it was all done in proprietary software. It was done on old computers possibly as well, and then things change as time goes on.
Didn't know that was possible.
If it's proprietary, you might lose access or the computer doesn't work. And that's the advantage of open source as well, because generally speaking, anything that's open source, as long as people are still interested in it, and our developers, of course, that will carry on. It'll be around for a long time to come. It's a bit like Linux is based, well, not Linux kernel, but aspects in the operating systems are based on Unix still, or similar to Unix, and that's from the 1970s. So that just kind of gives you an idea how much history there really is.
Yeah. So one thing, if you haven't already, you might consider using things like LibreOffice. Joplin is a very good suggestion too.
Are you familiar with the LibreOffice suite?
Yeah, like the, because it's basically a good free alternative, free as in Libre and free as in freedom alternative.
Yeah, use all of this stuff, but your dad proud at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I used to write all this stuff down on like paper and stuff, but I kind of ran out of notebooks and stuff. So I began using the Google Docs on my school computer because I already used that and stuff. But Google, I can literally Docs, just copy paste it. Yeah.
Google Docs, I mean, that's I'm thinking what he was talking about with old software and then you lose access. Now, Google Docs is probably not the worst thing because that's probably going to be around for another 20-odd years or something yet to come. They could drop Google Docs one day and just go, you know mm-hmm. what, we can't be bothered with this anymore.
Yeah,
that's why I was like, recommending Joplin, because then you can kind of have that like sharing across devices like Google Docs without being beholden to Google.
Yeah, I think what I might do later on, I don't know, is copy the documents over. Though I'll have to go through all the documents because I do have lots of like unimportant school documents. Well, I say unimportant, school doesn't think it that way, but they are. Like in the grand scheme of things, I already finished most of the stuff, so not really that important. I'll just copy paste it over. That's like the most easiest way to do it because it's literally just text. I usually don't use any images for just for anything like that. I just
and that's what a word processor or a text editor is for, really. It's text. I mean, you can put images into a word processor, but
yeah,
that's a bit, you know, it's a little bit, it's for typing,
exactly,
really.
My point, I can just copy it over. Yeah, I can use the I don't know if all those things have the same shortcuts as my laptop does, which are very useful shortcuts, like there's some for fancy letters and stuff. I know LibreOffice, my mother uses that, I'm pretty sure.
I think, and like, didn't use it enough myself, to be fair, but I think LibreOffice you can change some of those shortcuts if necessary, and you can even change the layout to like how it looks, okay, a little bit as well.
Yeah,
keeping things in plain text will definitely be your friend for longevity.
Yeah,
yep.
Dot text.
Think so.
You mean dot text? That's, yeah, it's been around so long.
Yeah,
hasn't it?
And paper is even longer, as long as the paper is kept in good condition, which it is. I've got all.
But if you had a fire or something, your paper could possibly get burnt. But if you've done
that
electronically,
true,
you could have your backups, you can have your copies of your electronic documents, and then hopefully
you could
have stuff on the cloud or something maybe now.
Yeah,
as well.
You could just scan. The problem is that when you scan something, it doesn't always get the faint pencil stuff. And there's always like images, like I when I write something in just the notes, I usually like scribble stuff, or like really small, and paint and make
you can
pictures.
Also kind of write on a computer sometimes with like a pen, but
the problem is converting the paper things to the computer, because I already like write stuff on the computer now when I want to make notes. I've actually got like stats for like two are finished and two are not. Like creations from that Necromancer Illusioner, which I already mentioned. That works just fine. But if I want to convert my things written on paper to stuff on the computer, it's a bit hard to do. I could try to scan it, but it doesn't work out that great. You don't get the detail you usually have from just looking at it. Your eyes work better than a scanner.
Certainly. One middle ground there would be to, if you've got a sketch or an image developed to a certain point that you would want to go back to it later, to perhaps take a picture of it most smartphones could take a picture in sufficient detail, capture that.
Well, yeah, depends on the thing. Like, some of it, yeah, I think I could take a picture of it. Some of it I might even be able to scan. But some of it, the text is faded enough so that you can still read it. Otherwise, I would rewrite it, which would probably just make it worse for copying. But I don't want to erase it just in case I erase something important. But I can still read it, but it doesn't register on either taking a photo or scanning. Yeah, because most of it is quite old already, like maybe more than a year, definitely. More than 2 years, maybe. Don't know exactly. But yeah, like for instance, the sword I was talking about, like that has a bunch of stuff. And it's also like very, very small writing. Like I start out big, then I get smaller and smaller and smaller. The more I realize I don't have any space left. And then eventually it's so small that it's barely legible. That's how I make notes usually.
Oh, one other, a couple of other things that I posted. There are some links to some sites are open source friendly. Obsidian, Logseq, and Zettler, as well as Joplin posted. Those are open source applications that are also available on Windows and Mac, so it's not just Linux. But the superpower behind those apps that might really help you out as you flesh everything out, they let you have notes and set up links to other notes without having to provision a wiki. I think that might help you at some point, especially as you get closer to actually writing or like putting together like whatever form your project will take. Like if it's going to be a podcast or YouTube videos or something like that, because you'll be able to write a note and say, okay, this place was built by XYZ individual. And then you can have a link to another note about XYZ individual, and you can start to it might help with linking things together and, you know, help flesh things out and make them perhaps more realistic, or, well, relatively speaking, of course, you know. Yeah. You know, it could be very helpful in, you know, helping to manage that complexity, and you might even discover like things that are possible as more characters and more places get added in, what is actually possible.
Yeah. Like then I might not forget like all the old stuff, because I've faintly remember, like, yeah. But then I also have to try way harder not to just rip off someone else's creation, which is how I usually start out my creations. And then if it doesn't, and if I can't get it any better, well, then it's literally just sometimes it's
that, because I ran into that too, or one about that, and I helped some other people remember that nothing's really actually truly original. Everything's just different combinations of different things.
Yeah,
so if you find you're having a hard time kind of being original, just say, okay, what are, like, you know, take multiple, you know, other fictional universes and kind of combine things into a new thing.
That, for instance, if I have a character which I usually use D&D to create stuff because they've already gotten rules and stuff, and I have a lot of trouble limiting things. I always had like really overpowered like creatures and stuff, like, so limiting things is hard for me. So I've gotten better at it, but I'll usually look towards another thing which has already done it to basically figure out how I'm supposed to do it. But sometimes then if I take inspiration from something else, say D&D, I might literally just, for instance, make a character which is, for instance, a tiefling, And how am I going to explain that? It's a tiefling. Anyone who's got good eyes can tell it's a tiefling and stuff. And I'm also not very good with coming up with names. So then you've got the problem of what am I going to name it to make it original? Something else, which isn't tiefling. But tiefling sounds so good already. That kind of stuff. Yeah.
Could be helpful. Using something else as a template does help you focus more time on the parts that are truly unique.
It's very useful, something else as a template.
One thing I posted in the chat is a quick link to the hero's journey. It's up a lot of narrative arcs and storytelling.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing, like, over thousands and thousands of years of human history and mythology and, you know, religion and culture, how many stories that are central to human civilization can be described as a variant of that hero's journey, you know, where you have a very specific character who, you know, even if they are predestined to become one of the gods, there's still a process, there's still a, for lack of a better word, a ritual that they must go through. Like a departure from wherever they are, an initiation to prove that they are ready for the final conflict, their ultimate return to greatness. And a lot of the good stories have that at its core. There aren't too many enduring tales of antiquity that stray too far from that. You know, some people in some circles would have a very low opinion of the hero's journey, but the thing is, when you look at what they write, you know, or the things that they create, it's very boring and flat because they haven't, you know, they haven't come up with a truly unique novel way of balancing all of the things that the hero's journey can balance for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I wondered about why everything has to follow something of a hero's journey. And I think there's just narratives that appeal to human beings because we're selfish and it's like, you know, we want to see things escalate, and the hero's journey, I think, is kind of the most surefire way to do that. Because if we can't see ourselves in something or a character, then, we don't really care.
Yeah.
I can't prove that, but
I think this is, it's very useful, definitely. Also, yeah, I think I haven't really used it that much. I really haven't gone that far, usually, in writing things. The furthest story I got is actually, it's pretty good, but it's in a defunct thing, which I've just kept around, kind of like nudged aside. I didn't really want that way of having magic in the world anymore. Don't want one specific place full of magic. But basically, so the guy is, I know if it follows hero's journey. So the guy, right, is our main character is a duke, and he's doing a yearly, he's a pretty powerful but very young duke, and can do some magic, and he holds a like festival thing, and people come from all over for the festival. It's a yearly thing in the kingdom, and then it who was being assassinated? Oh yeah, so one guy is not really being very nice. So because the Duke, he's already quite powerful, actually. He knows his way around the politics table. And this one is an opponent, and he catches him doing a little thing, which is technically punishable. I know exactly what it was again, but it was, he thought nobody was around, but it was a wrong thing to do. Because this is basically like the worst person in history. Not necessarily like evil. It's just that he's a massive douche, basically. And So basically then he gets captured and put into, well, basically the jail tent for the king to later on decide if he is guilty or not, because he's also a powerful like guy. And then he's going to send an assassin to try to kill him, and there were going to be like some events which he partook in, and eventually there was going to be an epic battle between the two to see who would win. And then the Duke, our main character, would win, just, and he'd feed the douchebag to the creature he had kept somewhere or other. He kept a dangerous sea creature, and he just, people he didn't like, he fed to it. So they charge him on a lot more than they eventually found a lot more on the dirt on him than it was originally charged for. So yeah, and then he dies, and that's, yeah, nice. He kind of becomes the power behind the throne. That's basically the story. I don't think that's Hero's Journey. Is that Hero's Journey?
I don't think it is. Probably not. I mean, whoever he runs into might go on the Hero's Journey, but his interactions with him might be events that happen on that other character's arc.
Yeah.
Another thing that comes to mind is Game of Thrones, which is basically based on, European history around the time of the Hundred Years' War and the Italian city-states period.
Yeah.
Which, actually, curiously enough, that very few people use that period of history as a template to draw upon.
Oh, I love that. I love that type of like little city states. Like, I love the politics. I didn't particularly like reading Game of Thrones, just like the book Game of Thrones, because it was very, very dark. I wouldn't have killed that dog now. That dog was, you could kill the humans, but not the dogs. That would be evil. And he killed the dog, and that's just evil. Like, I'm not going to kill dogs. Well, depending on the dog, but like, not going to kill like no non-sentient magical dog now. So, but yeah, I actually quite like the politics of the whole thing, and the politics of those states and stuff. And yeah, you think that's really cool. So yeah, continue.
Yeah. So yeah, there's, I definitely think you have enough material to start something at least. It may well be that as you start to realize this project, find more details may come up along the way, or new opportunities may come up along the way to link things together in a way that you perhaps haven't expected before. But yeah, I think you definitely have enough to start for sure. And then there's the main thing as far as like using or leveraging technology or the magic of technology to help you bring that to life, just as far as possible, stay with the open source stuff so that you don't get locked out of your world, in a few years, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I will. But most of my world is just stored in my brain. I just remember it. That is some, it's a very fickle thing. It's very hard to remember all the exact details, but all the, like the hard stuff I've written down at least somewhere on paper, and I'll make sure that I'll be able to access all the documents I need. But I think this might also be very useful for other people who are just like, who might just be interested in like the same stuff as I am. making something out of their own little world, which or big world, who knows? Depends on how much stuff you've got.
Right. Yeah, I just get a little concerned sometimes when I see so many creative people, especially knowing what I know now about open source. They think that, or they put so much of their time and their effort and their life work into silos, you know, these proprietary silos. You know, I've been burned that way, and other people who have been burned that way too. But yeah, that's
This is literally just what do you mean? Because this is literally just a hobby. I'm not gonna make a job out of this. Well, who knows? Maybe. Nah, I don't think so. I don't think I'll ever be able to make a job out of this. But I'm able to have fun with what I have.
Yeah, and that's certainly viable. The situation I personally ran into, I had a bunch of code and art and some lore for a couple of old video game projects that I put together from a time where I wanted to, because there was a space game and then a RPG that I wanted to make, sketches for racing game that I had. And some of those projects were fairly far along. I was in like a rough prototype on the RPG. However, because I used a lot of old software that was proprietary, I lost it all because I don't have a computer that can open the files anymore. I had a backup of some of the stuff, but the backup wasn't... It was also a proprietary program, and I lost access to that as well. And so there's, even though it wasn't a commercial project per se that I was going to make a lot of money on, that's a good chunk of my life that only exists in the string of ones and zeros that I can't even get to anymore. And that kind of thing does wear down on you after a while, or at least it does for me, because, it's like, even though I, my livelihood doesn't depend on getting a hold of that. That's true. But at the same time, it would be nice to at least review it, to look at it, to remember some of the cool things. Because
I have that with my old stuff, like all the notes and stuff. I look back on it and think, oh, that's cool. Hey, I can use that again. And if you can't access it, yeah. So basically, more of the story you're saying is, make sure that never happens to you. Right. Basically.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Always make sure you're on top of if the software you're using is up to date or not, or could be taken away. And always make sure if you've done something on one type of thing, make sure you copy it over to whatever possible.
Yes. Make sure there's at least one other copy of what you have. Perfection would be the 3-2-1 rule, three copies of your data, two different medium, one off-site. But yeah, even just one other copy that is not on the same place that you normally work in, it'll be a lot more than what a lot of people have. So
yeah,
but yeah, everything I do nowadays, I make sure that I'm using something open source, because I've only been involved in open source for about, I guess about 8 or 9 years now. Everything I did in the past 8 or 9 years, I can get a hold of, generally speaking.
Yeah, that's very useful. Like, I have a lot of stuff bookmarked on my phone, like a lot of music and stuff. So today, actually, or was it yesterday? Yesterday, because it's already 5 in the morning. Yesterday, Schneid showed me... a thing on F-Droid called Spotifier, where you can basically put URLs in it, and then it'll get the music and it'll, you can download it on your phone. So I've basically just got the best ones and I've put it on my phone, and I'm gonna put all the music I've bookmarked on my phone, but that's gonna take ages. Like, I've got like at least a good 10 seconds worth of, well, more than 10 seconds, good long time of scrolling down, and then it's just, oh, Kevin McLeod, that guy made a lot of songs. That guy made a lot of music.
Yes.
I totally, definitely don't regret telling at all. Also, if somebody knows how to help me, please get in touch.
There's no helping you anymore.
No, I was afraid of that.
Yep. Yeah. Open source can do a lot of cool things. I only realized that this year. I wanted some songs. Yes, this also has to do with songs. I just like music. I don't like making it, but I like listening to it. From a game. And it was an old game. It's Frozen Bubbles, and you have to do the colors and stuff. And I'm actually, and because I wanted to listen to the songs, or at least the first couple seconds of the songs, the ones which I actually heard, because I was, I became really good at the game, and that's why I only heard the first couple seconds, because I was like, yeah, that level's done, even with random stuff. It was really, really funny how that happened. Like, I'm usually not good at video games, but this one specific color shooty ball reflecty thingy, I'm actually good at because I wanted to listen to the music. But I asked that if he could put it on my phone, because what I did, my idea of putting it on my phone was basically going to the credits, looking at all the songs, screenshotting them, then looking them up on the internet, and maybe then downloading them from the internet or something. This was before I knew about Spotify, so I might just have bookmarked it. But basically what he did is he just went into the game files and he took them. It's like you do it one way, and it's so inefficient, but you don't know of any other way, and then someone else just comes out of the middle of nowhere and is like, I can do it this way, like, way better, and that's really cool. And then I was talking about it, and then, like, oh, that's so epic, to one of someone, and they said it's the most basic thing ever, and I was like, I know, but it's so epic, it's so cool. I didn't notice the power of open source before that, basically. That was really cool.
Yay, open source.
Eastern Zone is about to come up here in about 4 minutes.
Very nice, very nice. I say, what better way than to talk about FOSS, OSS, FOSS? Os, os.
I think he liked to scream at us.
There are some other cool FOSS tools that some people are using. One that I want to call out is it's called YouTube-DL, and it'll actually let you download videos. And they have a very interesting, I recommend looking them up. They have tried to have been sued, closed down. GitHub, I think that was hosting them, got threatened by all kinds of companies. And they've never quite been able to get shut down, and they're pretty awesome. They're useful if you do any sort of video editing or YouTube, because you can download videos and then put them. Obviously, they can't protect you from, like, you know, copyright issues and stuff, so bear that in mind. But awesome little tool.
To pull straight audio out of something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can use it for all kinds of things. I just I use it for, like, its own purpose, but
I have no idea what that is.
What's up?
Get an idea what? I heard no idea, then
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you said no idea what
you're talking about.
I was kidding. Love that tool. Oh, yeah.
YouTube DL?
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose, see, there's Joplin, Zettler, Gimp, and Krita actually surprised at how well they've come along. recent versions of those two tools have been very nice with, you know, experimenting with illustration. Definitely not what it was even just a few years ago. Of course, it also helps that I've really had a lot of good use out of MailSpring, actually. MailSpring is open source, very good alternative to Thunderbird, which can be a bit clunky and heavy, but I have too many email addresses, more than I care to admit. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year, everyone. It is now midnight in the Eastern time zone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How late is it everywhere? It's I've gone basically through the entire night now. It's six.
Six here.
It is midnight here in the Eastern time zone. So that's Canada, east of the prairies, of course, down through the Eastern United States, all the way down to most of Central America, most of Latin America, Guatemala, a chunk of the Caribbean as well. 22 would have said.
I have a Discord server with a bunch of my friends, and to celebrate, I'm saying Happy New Year's to celebrate. Here's a bunch of GIFs to commemorate 2021, and it's just a bunch of middle finger GIFs.
Yeah, I found 2021 to be like slightly worse than 2020. Like, you have all the stuff from 2020 just still around, and then you ended with a lockdown, and all the positives of the COVID stuff kind of disappeared. The whole like the COVID had a kind of thrill to it at the beginning. It was like, ooh, cool, we're part of history, something important. And you didn't have to go to school back then and stuff. COVID first came out, basically, you didn't have to go to school here in the Netherlands and stuff. All very fun and enjoyable and that kind of stuff. But then after a while, it's tiring. Now, like if you're not immediately affected by like people dying or people having seriously medical problems, this is how you basically feel. It's not the greatest, but it's different and interesting. But now it's just boring, and we've seen it all before, and better ended one way or another, basically. Yeah.
I actually was lucky. Me and Damien had the same social group, and I think we managed to avoid COVID for the most part. It's just now kind of starting to hit into my circle at all. My mom and a friend had to test for COVID because they, my mom worked in a nursing home. I got like 7 cases of COVID. It actually took out some of the residents, which was kind of sad. Thankfully, my mom didn't get it. And I had a friend that had a really bad flu or cold and tested, and thankfully he was negative. But yeah, it's finally starting to kind of get to my circles, and it's like,
Yeah. That's not a fun feeling. I had that before. I had that already before in 2021, and it's not the best, I would say. Though... Luckily, everyone I care about has not gone COVID, and only one class, which I can remember, a couple classmates and teachers have gone COVID, but they haven't died. Only one I heard had problems later on, but he was fine for the most part, just a little more trouble with breathing, which sucks, but yeah. Don't really know anyone in the class that well.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid COVID because I feel like with my luck and my system, I'll get the type of COVID where you're on the toilet for 2 weeks.
Yeah, but I remember like mom with her work, a lot of stuff had COVID, a lot of people in the homes and had COVID and stuff. I remember that. I don't know any specifics, of course. It's so classified and stuff. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Hey, we were pretty talking about boring. Open source software. What was that other name that they came out with for GIMP?
Oh, Krita?
No, Krita is a whole other application. There was some people who were didn't like the name of GIMP, so they came out with, they forked it and came out with a different, with basically the exact same thing, just named differently.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
There was Photoshop that was made to look like Photoshop.
Was that?
I just googled this. Looks like they called it Glimpse.
That's it.
Yeah, I like things about FOSS, but every once in a while you get these like really petty crap that's like stuff like that.
Looks like they've already folded.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they weren't able to find enough maintainers or enough contributors rather.
What's the popular version of Audacity now?
That Audacity? I've been following. I haven't seen consensus built yet. I've been looking at that with keen interest, though. Audacity is one of the early success stories for open source audio editing. The corporate entity that bought Audacity has done some very shady, underhanded things to basically try to close source the application and push some fairly invasive telemetry to code base. So they're basically taking what was once a free Libre open source application and turn it into, you know, yet another data harvesting product. So there have been a few forks of Audacity in the past few months. I have not found a good placement.
I think Tenacity is winning the race right now.
Tenacity,
I believe, is winning the race right now. I believe Tenacity might have been actually replaced in some of the repos. I'm not sure which one. I just want to. I think it has been replaced in some of the repos for Audacity.
Why do companies always they always think of the short term benefit? Well, it looks like they only think of short term like money gain and stuff, and then completely ignore things like actual quality in stuff. Like I know, for instance, I've got a friend who is way further in watching all the Star Trek stuff than I am. And he said that at a point they basically just the quality went down so far that he thought that earlier season was like way better or something. And the same happened with Star Wars and even stuff which isn't something like that. They get a good thing and then they suck all the joy and happiness from it, and then you're left with something terrible which no one wants anymore, and that hurts overall profits. If you just make a good thing, then people will want the good thing, but companies don't seem to get it.
Yeah, I work in a QA, and the thing I always kind of try to beat into people is, because I've like from my experiences with QA, the problem is that people just want to add, like companies want to add more and more features because the stakeholders or the board members say, hey, we need more features so that our stock prices, da da da. And I keep trying to really push into them, like, if your core features that people use your app for don't work, they don't give a shit about the other stuff. And it's really, and you get people with MBAs and all that that just do not understand this, and it just makes everyone's life harder. And then, you know, I can't tell you how many fast food apps and stuff that I've used that have become so convoluted.
Removed dislikes. They removed dislikes.
Well, they left the dislike button.
They left the dislike button, but it has no use anymore.
Because people were abusing it.
Abusing it in which way?
Well, they would get groups of people together, like vessels or bots, and just have, you know, thousands of people go in and dislike a video for no reason, and it would mess with the metric. It was affecting people's ability to make money. Hey, Danny, what's up?
One other view on that is that several large corporate brands also did not appreciate or having their official narratives challenged by large groups of people who didn't agree with them. But yeah, of all the organizations on Earth, YouTube would be one of the few organizations that would have the resources to do the kind of network analysis, regression analysis, artificial intelligence to detect when someone is getting bot brigaded and mitigate that. Instead, they've chosen a path to, you know, they took the lazy way out. They took the easy way out.
Yeah. And even though, something like me, who thinks in, who doesn't even know if that would even be possible, I just think, like, wouldn't it be handier just to, like, make the dislikes not count towards the algorithm, but still show the dislikes to the people? Like, the problem isn't necessarily, the problem is, for instance, if you want to see a good tutorial on something, you don't know if there's going to be a lot of, if it's good, if you only see the positive things, because who knows, maybe it's a type of thing which people don't engage with often. There is a lot of engagement, but people really hate it and it's not very helpful. And then you don't know it because of the dislikes. And it's not like people still can't, like, if it doesn't have any effects, it's the same as just, like, having a comment underneath the video and, like, upvote this if you don't like the video, and then everyone upvoting the comments. That it's the same thing, basically, except if you don't count the dislike thing. So there are literally more easy and more satisfactory ways to make it better. Like, I saw so many memes about it, and I was like, oh, I haven't had that, and then I had it. Very annoying.
I'm a bit concerned to see what impact it will have on the platform once a critical mass of videos are uploaded. Never knew the history of the video. Few people have pointed out that a lot of other kinds of abuse will become so much easier because they took the shortcut. So they may wind up endangering the very hoping to protect anyway.
Yeah. Or claiming to protect. Right. Claiming to hope to protect. Also, is it me or are people just, like, cussing out randomly? Like, I'm pausing in my sentences because that's how I speak, but, like, people are cussing out.
Yeah, it seems like people are hopping in and out.
Yeah, but with you, when you're talking, it just cuts. It doesn't say you're talking, and then wait for a couple seconds, and then it resumes, and you're further on in the sentence than where you were.
It's the way he has his audio set up. I don't think he has push to talk set up.
Oh, okay. Because then
it'll
okay.
Automatically mic will automatically pick up as soon as it starts hitting sound. So sometimes it takes a second for the sound to kick in.
Yep.
Yeah. Hopefully that's not too distracting. It normally works out fairly well because it helps cut noise and feedback.
I'm able to make out most sentences, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's only cutting out a word here and there. I'm not.
Yeah, it's like cut ways and feedback. That's like, this might be just a sentence which in which that is important. I don't know, but I'm able to make you out at least.
Oh, one quick question about this particular podcast. I'm new to Mumble. Is the chat history saved or
no?
No. Okay.
No. Yeah, the second you leave, no. It's gone.
Okay.
We do have a link on the HBR website to some lovely show notes where if you would like to save some of that information, it can go onto there.
Okay.
And then when I post it, all those show notes. Ish, July-ish, all right. I can use those show notes to put it. Well, I can use those the stuff in the show notes and the post.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to have to ask you for a segment this year. My daughters went out with a friend this evening, so no more of Kai saying something insane.
I still like the fact that you got that added two tilts.
I love it. She hates it. It's perfect.
Yeah, and apparently around like 9:45-ish, my laptop doing the stream, just completely. I'm guessing it went to sleep or something because I come downstairs, the screen is black, and like the little lights were flashing in the front. It shut down. I don't know what the hell happened.
Overheated.
I don't think so. I mean,
magic.
Horrible dark magic.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is my recording is on the stream, and the stream goes out to anybody who just wants to listen, and plus my recording's on there, so
missing large chunks.
Well, I'm not sure how large of a chunk is. I made it down here. Like, if it missed anything, it's maybe about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Because the guy, the recording laptop is called this guy. So back about, you go back in the history to about like 9:45-ish. This guy.
When's 9:45 about?
Mine is EST, so it's back about 4 hours.
Back about 4 hours. Okay.
Yeah. Nine.
And that was the most important part of the show.
Of course it was.
Way to drop the ball.
9:47, this guy was moved to audio tests. So that's had to have been around the time that something happened with the laptop. And then 9:48, it was disconnected. So, but I got it back on at 9:50. So we only lost a few minutes there, hopefully.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't think it'll be the end of the world, right?
The 2 minutes that you cut out, man, put in the secrets of the life, the universe, and everything.
Yep. Well, we were here, Eric. Well, I don't know exactly when it was, but people were here. People have heard it. We can be the wise sages who know the answers for it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it sad that I've been spending a good part of today, because there was a reference to that earlier. I was trying to figure out remember what the number was.
It's kind of sad that you didn't know it off the top of your head. Yes.
Yes, that is sad. I felt that's incredibly sad. Yeah, actually, your father made the reference, and it wasn't picked up. And I was going to say 42, but it just the number went completely out of my head.
You know, I thought of something. Right. So. The answer is 42, we know this. The question, however, that's another matter. I think it's the maximum, I think it's the number of Discworld books before the universe explodes is 42. When there are 42 Discworld books, the universe will explode. That's my theory. That's why he died before he could write another book, because if he didn't, then the universe would explode.
Seems logical.
Yep. Very, very logical, very logical logic there. Yeah.
You know, I'm sad that Terry Goodkind is dead, but I'm really glad he's not writing the Richard and Galen novels anymore.
Which one?
Terry Goodkind, or the Truth novels.
I didn't pick that up.
The Sword of Truth novels, Terry Goodkind.
Never heard of him.
If you decide to read the series, don't go past the second book.
Don't go past the second book? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I have a similar series where it's like good in the start and then it gradually just gets worse and then after a certain book.
Every series written by Orson Scott Card.
Never heard of him too, but it's...
Really? You wrote Ender's Game?
I might have heard of Ender's Game, but I it wasn't something... Yeah, didn't really have look into it, basically. But it's Artemis Fowl, The first book is really, really good. And it's like, have you heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ars Misfah. Have you read the books?
No.
Okay, so the first book, really, really good. I would advise reading that. Second book, also pretty good. Third, yeah. Fourth, they kill off a... Yeah, there's a major death, which I would have put later on in the series, but anyway, not so bad. Fifth, still okay. Some slight amount of time travel. It kind of gets wackier and wackier, but it's tolerable on, like, fifth. Fifth, there's a reason, and they only, like, they're in, go to, like, parallel, They time travel quote unquote into the future simply by not having the correct destination in the weird time place.
Orson Scott Card is actually a fairly prolific writer. His problem is that he cannot properly end a series, and by the time he gets to the usually third book in a series, it's complete and total garbage. The exception being Ender's Shadow series, which is good all the way through the third book, and then at the fourth book it kind of slides downhill. But he should have ended it at the third book, like he was originally planning. Now the Ender's series itself, Ender's Game, Speaker for the Dead is still decent, but then everything after Speaker for the Dead really slides downhill. And then the Alvin Maker novels, they're good through the second book, and then by the fifth book, even the editing is terrible. And then, let's see, the Gate Thief novels, first one is good, second one is very meh, and then, don't even bother with the third one.
Yep. Sometimes people just have it, like, I tried writing. We had a whole conversation just before, I can never finish it just because I already moved on to something else. But that Artemis Fowl thing, right up until the fifth book, it still made sense. But then he gets time travel involved, and it's not like the good Terry Pratchett time travel. It's not good time travel.
Well,
like, there's problems and all that kind of stuff, and eventually one really stupid thing is in book 8, which, like, there is a person who time traveled from the past to the future, and then the future version of them kills them, and instead of, like, them fading themselves. Away, what?
Unexisting themselves?
Yeah, not existing themselves. Everything they've done exploded. Why? Why does it explode? This is such a random thing. We are literally told between the two possibilities. Either everything fades away and, you know, the logical thing that they don't exist in the timeline.
Or both things exist at the same time, so each of these objects are in two places at the same time, everything that they've touched or moved. And so, because object can't,
or influence,
you know, occupy two spaces at the same time, everything goes boom.
Yeah, the thing is, though, they influenced the creation of, like, mobile phones and stuff. So everything, like, all the human technology stuff goes boom. And, that's a bit like, If you would explain it like that in the book, I would be like, okay, that does make sense. Yeah. But they just say there are two opinions on it. Either this happens or that happens. And, it just doesn't feel right in the book itself. Should have been explained.
The problem with Terry Goodkind's writing is that you don't realize that it's going downhill. But you read the first book, it's good. You read the second book, it's good, but you're kind of realizing that there's a little
similar
bit of something
situation
going on there.
With Artemis Fowl, to be honest.
And then you get into the third book, and it's still, you know, it's good, but okay. And then the fourth book, yeah, it's good, but it's kind of repeating the second book. And then the fifth book is kind of repeating the third book, and on and on and on. Because in one book, Richard will get kidnapped. And then in the next book, Kaylin will get kidnapped. And then back and forth and back and forth. And getting free, getting back up, somebody gets kidnapped.
Does that, like, repeating thing of somebody gets kidnapped reminds me of Cadfael? But I think Cadfael is different. Cadfael starts off with, like, it's a monk in medieval times, and he's basically like a murder mystery detective.
Right, and then each book has the exact same theme, and that's communism is bad.
Murder. That sounds a lot like Cadfael. It's like murder, murder, murder each time. And you know, who's going to get murdered? There's somebody going to get murdered there. And there's also going to be a subplot with two people hooking up.
Usually 40 or 50 times throughout the book, you get the explanation of how a confessor's power works. And by the end of it, you're so tired of hearing about how a confessor's power works, and you just want to choke the shit out of the person that wrote it. And then you realize he's dead and you move on.
Oh, that would suck. Because, you don't want to listen to how to exposition 20 times over. You want to listen to it once, and if you don't know it exactly, you come back again.
Yeah, if, I can understand, yes.
If you want a lot of exposition, then you give a lot of exposition. Like, for instance, this is how... this is what the specific castle looked like, and this is the defending thing of the castle. Right. Now, we're not going to attack the castle. The castle's just going to be there. But now you know the thing about the castle, or like, hey, this fairies are like casually being mentioned, but here's like the whole thing, history about fairies, which I've done something like that.
Well, like I'm saying, give me something new. Don't retell me the same thing in the same book 100 times. I understand, you know, wanting the novels to be independently readable and re-explaining it once at, you know, towards the beginning of the book. I don't need it explained over and over and over again in every book. And the other thing with Terry Goodkind was he finished the series. I read all the way through till he finished the series. And it was a good, solid finish, despite the fact that you got tired of the overarching theme and the explanations. I stuck it out. And then he tried to write a new series, and that's expanding on way distant future events in the same timeline. But nobody bought it. So he went back and continued on with the original series, dropping that new series. And it just...
That sucks.
Beating a dead horse, and it was, you know, he'd already done, okay, well, the world was split up into this one, into two sections. Well, we opened that section up, and now these two sections are merged together. But, oh, wait, there's another section that's blocked off in the world over here. So then we opened that up. And then, oh, wait, there's another section that's blocked off. This is just another small chunk of the world. The world is much bigger than you thought. Got annoying.
Yeah, that's very annoying. But like that's not something well, Cadfael kind of has a problem, I think, with writer is actually very talented, or was, I don't know if they're alive still, but a very talented writer in being able to kind of make a good story around it, because I'm pretty sure that the people who were producer of the book? No, something like that. They basically wanted to have she kind of set out a kind of theme, like there is a murder and two people are going to hook up want to hook up but can't. And Cadfael is going to solve it some way. And
wasn't the Hunger Games.
Those books
were terrible. But at least the Hunger Games wasn't Twilight. That was garbage. Oof. You couldn't make it past the first chapter.
I haven't even tried reading it. Because sometimes, you know, it could be handy to have a look at it. Like, the sequel trilogy of Star Wars, I need to have a look at it to combat it effectively. But Twilight, I don't even need. I just know the summary of plot of the movie version.
I don't care if you're a vampire. I love you.
Yeah.
I couldn't even make it through the first chapter of the first book of Twilight, but at least Twilight didn't have Jar Jar Binks.
Hey, Jar Jar Binks is a cool Sith Lord, okay? I've looked at everything. It is a Sith Lord. Tell you, Jar Jar Binks is a Sith Lord, and there's nothing... What evidence is there against Jar Jar not being a Sith Lord? Have you even
considered... He couldn't find his asshole with both hands in a map?
That's what he wants you to think.
So, I went back a while ago, and I decided I was going to rewatch everything from episode one all the way up until... I mean, even like Rogue One going into New Hope... and watch everything from the beginning.
So you watched the Clone Wars.
But the animated?
Animated. I just watched it. I like it.
Did you watch the animated Ewoks?
I have not made it through the first season of Clone Wars because the first season of Clone Wars is most of every episode is we went to this place.
Did you watch Star Wars Droids?
Yeah,
no, I didn't watch those old 80s. I might have seen them back when they were in the 80s. But
Did you watch the holiday special? I personally didn't mind that.
No. But past, like, if you get later in the series, it goes a bit like there are actually arcs like Ponkrell. Everyone hates Ponkrell, and you'll figure out why once you reach that part.
I know there's more to the Clone Wars. I have to make it past basically the first season, I think.
Yeah.
Once I make it past the first season, it's supposed to get a lot better. But
yeah. In my first season, you're confused and you're like, okay, they're going to beat up these guys. They're going to beat up this. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just like we went to this skirmish. It was really hard. We beat these guys, but there was like no there's no like real rhyme or reason to anything. That it's like we went to this fight, we won. Yay! We went to this fight, they took our droid, we got our droid back, we won. Yay! That was like it. There's no like
our broader
story. But my initial point was when I initially started this whole journey, my previous thought was that Jar Jar Binks wasn't as annoying as he was, and that everybody was just blowing it out of proportion. And then I went back and rewatched it.
No, he was really that fucking annoying.
He's really that bad. I had somehow deluded myself to thinking that Jar Jar Binks wasn't like that bad. He was just like, okay, he's kind of comic relief. No, he was that bad. He interjected himself enough into the episode one to be so annoying that it was horrible.
I didn't mind it personally, but I watched it with the first time with the perspective of him possibly being a Sith Lord. And when I did that, oh my god, he's definitely 100% a Sith Lord. You can't... He's such a good Sith Lord that he even manages to fool Palpatine into thinking he's just a clown. That's how good of a Sith Lord he is. And then what does he do in the Empire? He disappears. Why? We don't know. He just disappears. After helping Palpatine rise to power, he disappears. Why? What reason? Like,
because he was
horrible? Let me just interrupt this real quick just to say Happy New Year from Miami.
Yeah,
hoping you all are having a wonderful 2022 so far.
Yeah, 13 minutes are fantastic.
Talking about Sith Lords
perfect.
And how
Jar Jar Binks run with it.
Definitely one.
Hopefully, I'll continue on.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. But continue. Like, I'm off. Take it easy.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year. But literally, I also watched the Clone Wars, and there was, for instance, an episode, right? And I didn't know why he was doing what he was doing. I thought it's silly. Maybe he's not a Sith Lord. How can I explain this for him being a Sith Lord? Very easy, actually. So what he did is he went up to like the pilot, and he accidentally went up to the pilot and messed around and caused the ship to crash. Well, turns out that the guy who was who outranked him was killed. He's now in charge. Now Jar Jar Binks is in charge. And because Jar Jar Binks is in charge, things don't escalate. That's the thing. He just takes control of the tanks and things don't escalate. Which, yeah, because basically there's a whole like pirate thing and people were being kidnapped, whole, you know, Republic versus separatist thing, and the pirates are in the middle and some people were betraying the pirates and it was gonna end up very, very bad for everyone, especially the very cool pirate guy. If Jar Jar Binks hadn't stepped in and mediated the situation. Now you might ask, why would a Sith Lord want to mediate a situation? The reason being is that the Clone Wars is orchestrated by Palpatine, a Sith Lord, and it would probably stop, or at least the plan would be hindered. The great plan, which the Sith worked 1,000 years for, would be hindered, if not delayed or just stopped, if Dooku died or was captured by the Republic. Because yeah, that was the stakes. So basically it was, if the way Jar Jar Binks did it, it made that Dooku could escape, and that the Republic and that the Clone Wars would continue, and otherwise the whole thing would basically collapse. So he made sure that the Empire could exist. That's just one example, and there's like many, like literally every episode he appears in, there is something which explains all his actions. I take your silence as a response that your mind is blown by my great observing of Jar Jar Binks.
I'm gonna go with yes.
It makes sense though. Come on.
Sure. I'm gonna go with it.
There's a choice. You can either be super annoyed by Jar Jar Binks and hate him and that kind of stuff, or you can think he's really cool because he's an evil Sith Lord and stuff. I'm just going with the one which gives me the most enjoyment. Like, for instance, in the new canon, they don't have the Yuuzhan Vong, which I didn't read any of those stories of the expanded universe because I was way too late for that. But I always liked the concept of like the Yuuzhan Vong. So I think like the Grisk, which replaced them, are being driven out by some scouts of the Yuuzhan Vong. So like they try to fortify the galaxy, which is like what the Chiss are doing. And in response, the Chiss are trying to fortify the galaxy against the Grisk. So if you understand what I'm talking about, it's very cool. Does anyone even understand or care what I'm talking about?
What was it?
A lot of alien species, a lot of stuff, just choosing the option which gives you most enjoyment.
Definitely.
Yep.
Sorry, I had two conversations going on at the same time.
Ah.
We were arguing about the movie The Joker and a couple other things in the chat, as well as the conversation about Jar Jar. So I got lost.
Oh,
in
yeah,
between.
I haven't been reading the chat. That reminds me. But yeah, you can do two. That's a pretty good two conversations in one, by the way. But like the new canon stuff, I only arrived to the Star Wars scene after the whole new canon stuff. So the way I deal with the canon thing is basically like, if it's not contradicted by the new canon and you like the Legends version, then the Legends version is canon for you, at least. And and the way I do it is I basically prefer if something is canon, unless it was in the sequel trilogy, then I don't like it. Because I started watching it and I nearly literally threw up because it was just the start. They ripped off, like, they tried to rip off a New Hope, just like...
Well, I've been trying to look at a lot of it as I'm just going to relax and try to enjoy the ride. Because, you know, a lot of people were talking about how the what is it, episode 6, but god damn it, the newer season, the newer series of the Star Wars was crap, and how the new one was exactly like New Hope, and I try to just take it as, hey, it's a fun, cool movie. I mean,
yeah, I was just so confused, and I had to like stop watching it, and I went on to watch Marvel stuff. That's how I actually started watching the whole MCU thing. Is I started watching it. It's not necessarily that it was bad, at least the part that I watched. It's just that they give no explanation for why the First Order appears. It's like, who's the First Order? What's it doing? And you might think, well, that happened in episode 4. But in episode 4, we get later on the prequel series, who literally just sets up all the stuff from before season 4. And in between, all the gaps between the movies is filled up with animated shows like the Clone Wars, Bad Batch, and Rebels. They completely fill the holes in between the movies. So where is any explanation from why the Empire was defeated in episode 6? But why is there another Empire in episode 7, just at the start? That was just like, yeah.
Oh yeah, explain. They did a horrible job trying to explain anything that happened in between, or if like the last of the Jedi's was initially just basically beforehand it was Darth, Leia, and Luke, and then what's his name? I guess it was Senator Palpatine or whatever. After the others died, I mean, it should have just been Leia and Luke, and
I really haven't watched that far, so.
Well, you're talking about. That's not true either, because then there was the. Apparently, Luke had started a school for whatever remaining Jedi's were left, and, you know, that he was able to find and scrounge together. But I don't know. I try to, a lot of times with movies like this, I try to just kind of sit back, relax, and try to enjoy the ride. My expectations for continuity is down to nothing. I just basically, I hope for the best. The best people who have done anything with continuity has been the MCU, and, you know, they haven't screwed up continuity yet, but that's because they've had basically one guy running most of it. Well, we always say Kevin.
But they're working on screwing up their continuity right now, but they're working on doing it in such a way that, you know, makes sense.
Multiverse.
Yeah, they're trying to do it in such a way in which it's actually enjoyable.
Yeah, and so that they can replace aging actors or actors that want to leave the series.
Yeah, which is
replacing characters.
Which is a good thing, to be honest. That should be possible, but it's such a long thing. I actually when I heard like multiverse, I was like, well, that's a very interesting thing, very well done there, give yourself a pat on the back. Well, I quite also like the Loki thing. Oh, yeah. I had a nice look at it, and it was all very clear to me, all the stuff, but then again, what's clear to me not necessarily means that it's clear to other people.
No, and I just hope that the MCU doesn't screw up the multiverse like the whole DC does. Multiverse is how they explain the fact that they can have 15 different versions of one character.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I haven't...
Cough, cough, Spider-Man, yet... cough, cough.
I want to see the new Spider-Man. I want to see it so bad.
I haven't yet seen Spider-Man. Don't spoil Spider-Man yet. Spider-Man Homecoming.
I haven't seen it either, but I know that the other two Spider-Men are still in it.
Oh yeah, me too. I definitely know that. That was unavoidable. But that's just pretty cool, because people apparently like those movies, haven't seen those movies, but people like them. So if people like them, why not bring them back? And then with the original people who did it. That's what I like, that they bring back the original people who played all the villains and heroes and stuff, all the characters. Yeah,
I want the Netflix Marvel shows in the MCU now.
Yeah, I heard something Netflix. I heard something like Marvel shows. Like I was very confused what actually was canon and what was not, because I definitely know all which movies are canon into the MCU. Well, now it's a bit more hard to pinpoint now with the whole multiverse thing. But which series? Like, I just know WandaVision, Loki, What If, and Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Are there more?
Well, Hawkeye just came out.
Oh yeah,
so
all of
those are basically kind of like to keep pushing the original stories forward a bit. Like WandaVision was a way to continue telling the story of Wanda and Vision. They basically brought Vision back from the dead, and so Wanda turns, I think, a little bit more evil, and then Vision, it turns more towards good, but it's like a whole different Vision.
It's really good. It's really good how they did it. I watched it all in one day, because that's how good they did it. They also told me about sitcoms, which I was very happily surprised about, because I definitely with the 2010 stuff I recognized it, but that was from also now that's probably because it was carried over into after 2010. So yeah, that they get the people, and then they have the people on those chairs and make them tell about their point of view, that kind of stuff. And they really brought it nice together with with what was actually going on.
Yes. Are you talking about sitcoms? You've never heard of a sitcom before?
Oh no, I heard about them and I've actually watched them. That's what I said. I recognized some of the things. It's just that I'm not that old, so I haven't watched that much old stuff. I only recognize the last, I only recognize, big things from the last type they did. I knew some stuff from before, but I don't really watch that. So yeah, I used to watch that. My sister used to watch, something from the last type more often. So, I am familiar with that. So yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. Also educational.
You should stop what you're doing. Go watch all of Married with Children right now.
Married with Children? Well, yeah, Married with Children is pretty good.
That's
I wouldn't necessarily watch
Joe.
All of it.
Yeah. All of it. All 19 seasons of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you'd want to watch all of them.
Sure he would want to watch all of them.
What was, did they adopt the kid for a while? Or when she had another kid?
No. She was pregnant. And then she lost the baby.
Okay.
And
did she lose the baby?
Yeah. The actress actually lost the baby.
Ooh.
They had been spouting. They had been really, really talking about how she was pregnant. And they were going to have a baby. And then she didn't have the baby because something happened in real life. And then, so they just completely ignored that afterwards. It never happened in the TV show. And then she got pregnant again, and they kind of just took her off the show for a while. Just had her do phone-in scenes and stuff like that.
Oh, that's when
she
left.
And they never mentioned it.
That's when she left to, her family or something.
Yeah, yeah. She went and spent a season with her family or something.
So I don't
and then she actually did have a
order.
Baby, but they never mentioned it on the show. And then they adopted a kid or, a cousin or something, just showed up and stayed there. And then they, retconned that, and then they brought the kid back, but he'd been, hiding out at the Darcy's. It got confusing.
I've never watched them all in order. But if you want to watch true sitcoms, a lot of the beginning stuff of WandaVision was more towards Bewitched and Dick Van Dyke show esque.
Yeah, but you pretty much got to be a big Marvel fan for that for WandaVision.
Yeah, but I mean,
I don't think he is yet.
Am I a big Marvel fan? Well, I'm not really very proficient with the comics, but I did. When I watched WandaVision, you must realize I've spent that entire summer just watching Marvel movie after Marvel movie after Marvel movie.
And so, the hits just keep on coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I've seen like an Easter egg and I'm like, oh, that's the thing. And then in the YouTube video, which I saw about the thing, they like, oh, that's so cool. And I'm like, how did nobody notice that for 10 years or something? I know for like very long time, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I've just watched the two movies after each other, or like this, like I watched a movie and then a couple other movies in between and then another movie. That's just, yeah, very easy. That kind of stuff.
How are you on The Simpsons?
Don't watch
after the movie.
Well, I didn't watch the movie, so...
Fair enough.
Are they like 40 seasons now or something?
Something like that. They still just, the hits just keep on coming.
Longest running comedy in history.
Yeah.
I know they predicted the loss of stuff, that's for sure.
Well, if you do enough, I'm sure it's going to happen, you know. It's kind of like the spray effect.
Yeah. If you're going to do enough stuff, then eventually you'll be right. If you're going to spout a bunch of nonsense for like a year nonstop, then eventually you'll find something. Somebody might look back at it and find something which will have happened.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when you're done watching The Simpsons, you can move to South Park.
Nah, I don't.
I've also heard about South Park. Yeah.
Less than a minute.
Mostly, well, the thing I can remember now is when Rick and Morty said,
"My clock says now, Joe."
What?
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to Joe and all them Texans out there.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Joe, Danny.
Happy New Year.
Now, what you need to do is find yourself some Nick at Night and go back and watch things like I said, watch Bewitched and what was the other one? Dick Van Dyke Show.
The problem with Bewitched is they changed the dick. Yeah.
Mikhail's Navy. Who cares? Go back and watch Mikhail's Navy.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
Or F. Philco. Yeah. No, what was...
Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan's Heroes, yeah.
No. What was the show with Sergeant Bilko?
Sergeant Bilko.
No, that was the movie.
Ta-da.
The TV show was named after the actor.
Oh. Phil Silvers.
Yep, the Phil Silvers show. That was a good show.
Didn't see that one.
Okay.
Dragon was a great show.
Like, I don't think I'm very much a sitcom person. Well, that depends on the premise of the sitcom, of course. Like, if it's school, like, fantasy, probably. Like, something, I don't know. Good character sec and stuff. And I start watching it from the first time it's released, well, then I can just keep on updating, basically. Or like, if it's like Hermitcraft, that's kind of a sitcom, right? Except it's not made by a TV crew, it's made by just a bunch of random people on the internet playing Minecraft.
Hey, Joe. Did you realize there's a Sergeant Bilko movie starring Steve Martin?
Yes.
Yes.
I've watched that too. It's a good movie. Well, it's a decent movie. I really like
it. Less than two TV stars show. on Rotten Tomatoes. 31%.
What do they know?
Yeah. Usually when people say that movie sucked, I usually don't mind. Like, it's very rare that...
With me, it matters how it sucked, why it sucked, and who says it sucked.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Or maybe you just like it. If it's something which could be better, well, yeah.
But I generally don't go for stupid comedies.
Wait a minute. Well, you just mentioned The Simpsons, The Simpsons and South Park.
That is not stupid comedy.
It's this, well, okay.
Donald Duck.
That is okay, not Dumb and Dumber. Donald Duck. That is not all these, what's his name?
Cartoon?
No. There's one guy that does a whole lot of really stupid movies, has a really stupid character, and he makes a lot of money doing it.
I know it. Jim Carrey.
No.
Oh.
Describe it a little.
Well, The Water Boy.
Adam Sandler.
Oh,
Sandler, yeah.
Yes, Adam Sandler.
I cannot stand anything he's done.
That name is familiar. Adam Sandler. He isn't Jake from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, is he?
No, that's...
No. That's Sandler,
yeah.
Dang.
Hold on.
Oh, come on.
Right? There's a movie with both of them in it, too. Daddy's Boy or something like that.
Because this is
Andy Samberg.
Yes.
Yeah, Andy Samberg. Very similar name. Very yes, similar it is. Name. Both an A at the beginning and an S at the end. Yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah. A lot of good actors in that show.
Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. They should do a ninth season just to have like nine episodes.
I could only watch a few seasons of that before it just got to be too much the same thing. But Andre Brower really made that show more than anyone else, and Terry Crews.
Well, it's actually I haven't seen the latest season yet, but I do love the previous seasons. They do have a they don't really have a repetitive theme. That's the thing. I can't really find that. Like some
all the shticks are repetitive.
I think they ran out of stories at one point, though.
There's always that company which he signed up for, the pyramid scheme. I always want them to resolve that. That's like something I just want to happen. There's a list of stuff they could fix. They could just like address.
And boom, boom.
Yeah, boom, boom. Can't remember. I haven't watched it in ages and I'm tired, so.
Have you watched the movie Idiocracy?
Oh, yeah.
Not you, Joe. I was asking him.
That was me, Phil. Honky.
Ah, Honky.
You're asking
Idiocracy.
Someone...
Look it up.
Status documentary ever.
Yeah. Pretty much. Mike Judge pulled it off of the rotation because he said that I wasn't trying to make a documentary. I was trying to make a satire. Terry Crews is fabulous in it.
Terry Crews is fabulous in everything.
He wasn't that good of a linebacker.
Fair enough. I want to throw out Get Smart. If you get a chance to watch the original series of Get Smart, it's one of the best.
I can stream that on Kodi. Nobody remembers who were the producers on that.
The producers? Wasn't that... oh, God damn it.
It was Mel Brooks and Buck Henry.
That's it. I knew Mel Brooks. That's what the name I was searching for.
You know, I don't really recognize most of those names. I am only just like a kind of semi-young person who only recently actually started watching movies and stuff with stuff that's more mainstream media stuff.
So you've never watched Mel Brooks movies?
I've heard of it, might have. I don't know.
Well, there are great Mel Brooks movies and there are sad Mel Brooks movies.
That's very true.
You can't beat Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein.
Oh, I've watched Blazing Saddles.
That's there Mel Brooks.
Yeah, well, then
that's a movie that could never be made today.
Oh, no.
It's a great movie. No. It's a great movie. Yeah.
You know what's that?
Well, it depends on where it's made.
Yeah. Silent movie
like,
is a good movie.
In some places, it's not as much as a problem as in America.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about that before. I've been talking for, I started at, for me, it's... it was a quarter past one, I think. Yeah, 1:15, and it's now about 7:10. So, yeah, it's been a while already.
Silent Movie was a great movie, but the frustrating thing is, I really wanted somebody to talk. I know it's called Silent Movie, and I know it's supposed to be a parody on silent movies, but I really wanted somebody to talk.
Ooh, yeah, there was an episode in a show we were watching as family, and it was supposed to be like, well, if not completely silent, mostly silent. Because the guy who it was focused on was dead. So, pretty quiet movie. Pretty quiet episode. But you just want someone to talk. Like, yeah. If you just read, like, text, like, all the sounds muffled and the text, there's text explaining what the people are mouthing or signing, then it's a bit like, yeah. Then it's they just want someone to talk or something.
High Anxiety was fantastic. Spaceballs.
I really did not like Spaceballs.
Really?
I've heard of it. I thought they made a remake, didn't they?
It's sort of like Robin Hood Men in Tights. They should have never made the movie, but then they should have never made Robin Hood Prince of Thieves either, which is why he made the movie.
Exactly. But that's why it's enjoyable. I mean, if it's stupid to the point where
Princess Bride, and I love that movie.
Well, yeah, the Princess Bride is fantastic.
Yeah, we were not talking about Princess Bride. No,
no, but I just thought of it.
Right. Yeah. I love the Spaceballs because it's such a it makes so much fun of it. But it's just so fun. I'm a Mog, half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend.
Maybe I would get the reference if I actually had watched it.
Yeah. So it was, you know, Wookiees. They had something that a parody of Wookiees in Spaceballs called a Mog, which he's like I said, he's half man, half dog.
Ah. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Half man, half dog.
Played by John Candy.
President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Camacho.
A lot of words.
Gotta get your electrolytes.
A lot of words.
Going back to Idiocracy, of course.
Yep.
Yeah.
Rondo?
You know, I think Blazing Saddles, right? That I personally wouldn't find it that bad if it would just be made in the modern time. If it would be made today, I personally wouldn't think it as a bad concept, because I'm not talking about remakes. I'm just like, if the original would be made in the modern day, or would like modern atmosphere, I wouldn't personally find it bad. But I think many people would misunderstand the meaning behind the movie itself, and therefore think it's like promoting racism over stuff. And we were talking earlier, and we noted that there's a lot more focus on race and stuff in America, and that's very interesting. I'm actually quite interested to know why specifically and in America. And what is there an equivalent of that in, like, Europe?
That kind of dips into a whole well of,
yeah,
it's a dark, muddy place that is hard to both explain, go over, and try to talk about, because there's a lot of people who have very, very. So this last couple of years has shown that there has been a lot of people who have very strong feelings on either side of many different conversations, and they do not feel like that there's any reason why they should ever, try to find a happy middle ground to anything. thing with that and with COVID in mind and with other things.
Yeah.
And so anytime any of those subjects kind of get brought up, you're going to find where people sit yeah. on that fence, and they just kind of nobody wants to find a happy middle ground. They all want to hold on to the side very strongly,
the best.
And the whole conversation will, you know, it will just turn into a
that sucks.
Not a conversation, but just shouting match. So it's you don't want to don't necessarily want to wade into those rounds.
Get it.
It all depends on your opinion of a certain orange-skinned cretin.
It all depends on your opinion on people's perceptions of things that are going on and people's perceptions of everything. And is one right? Is the other right? It doesn't really matter. There should be a happy middle ground.
Is there a right? That's more like the questions people should be asking. Like, I'm sometimes astounded by how quickly people are to anger. Just, I'm personally a very just mellow, chill person by nature, but
I am very offended by your statement.
What?
No,
I'm kidding.
Sorry. I know.
What did you say?
He said he was very angry by my statement.
But yeah, basically, people usually just get angry like about that kind of stuff when the whole point of talking about it is not getting angry,
right? There should be people should have a discussion, and then things should go into place fix the problems. But the problem is nobody wants to calm down.
Yeah, if people are going to be angry, well, if people are you can work it out together and can find a compromise. Well, maybe not everyone will be happy, but at least everyone will be equally frustrated at the solution. And then we're all more equal. And
right.
I think that's isn't that a thing people want nowadays, to be more equal?
To be equally frustrated? I don't think so.
well, they're more equal then. If the other person is more frustrated, then eventually problems will arise that way, and people will complain and that kind of stuff. If you are more frustrated, then you are more likely to complain about it and that kind of stuff. If both of you are equally frustrated and both know that of the other person that you at least got to rip that rip them off or something like that. The best way to have a compromise is that both parties think they got the better deal. That's actually it. Like, if that doesn't work, then both parties have to be frustrated. But if the best compromise with people who don't want to see the other side is for them to both think they've won at the same time, and because they'll never talk to each other, they will not notice that they've actually both have got equals, so or at least what how much they're worth, like equal to what they're worth, basically. Like I wouldn't give like one person as much as 1,000 people. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. My point being that it's just a tough conversation to get into because people's And again,
people are stupid that way.
Yeah, it's around here. I think if you've ever seen the, I know you haven't, but if you ever looked at the some of the HBR mailing lists, anytime there was something come up about like COVID and masks and vaccine and stuff like that, a lot of that is just it's shaky ground because people seem to stand firm on whatever they believe no one wants to kind of wade into that middle ground at all and try to find a compromise. They all want to hold tightly onto whatever it is they believe. So we try to kind of, you touch on it and a little bit, like in this situation, and then you just back away gracefully.
Yep. Yeah, just thought that, that Blazing Saddles isn't actually, I wouldn't think that that is something which wouldn't be too much of a problem.
Subject matter, no. The wording that was used, the vocabulary that was used would not fly at all.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I haven't watched it in a long time. I don't think, yeah, vocabulary. But the underlying message is something which could be something today. It's basically like racism bad and not racism good. And I do remember the scene where they like go from the fake town into Hollywood and stuff, and that was funny, very very well done.
Yeah, I've got the Klan scene in my head. Hey boys, look who I found. Hey, where the white woman at?
Yeah. Again, a lot of it is just like the words and stuff that you just that would just not fly.
Yeah,
the verbiage.
Well, it was really supposed to be most Richard Pryor, actually, not Cleavon Little, too.
Most people actually who fight are actually like the same type of people who just have a different perspective. I've noticed. That's just something I
don't have a say. Different perspective. You have a different perspective.
Yep. Yep, and they're both saying that at the exact same time. So, yeah, that's funny.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.